welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed. 866-901-ADAM is the phone number. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, big old Brian Young.
Nice. Exciting. All right. Well, a lot of show on tap for you all this morning. My dad's coming in here. He's bringing his trumpet.
Hell yeah.
I spoke to him last night about 9 o'clock, and that's the latest he ever stays up. And he said, I have an idea for tomorrow. I said, what do you want to do? I said, I'm going to play the trumpet, and then we're going to scat.
Really?
I said, we're going to scat? Yeah, we could scat.
As
why
in
not?
Scatman Crothers kind of
jazz scat.
So I said, all right, Dad, I'm game.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, so my dad's coming in. He's brought his horn and his mouth, and he's going to be either blowing or scatting this morning. Also, Danny's mom is coming in, yes?
She'll be blowing.
She'll be blowing this morning as well. David Allen Greer, my main man. Speaking of not blowing,
he's
going to be in here.
It's good to be here. I'd like to take you out for an imported beer.
Rich Eisen's going to be on the show. Ozzy, Defrek guy coming in. It's all part of the big Thanksgiving celebration. I'm officially psyched, and not only for the few days off, but the pumpkin pie. Still a little worried about my family handling the desserts. The more I think about it. Now, you guys tell me. I pray no one in my family is listening. But you tell me, you just tell me. I'll tell you where my head's at. And okay, here's what I'm saying.
Spit it out, dude, and we'll tell you.
I have a lot of conversations with a lot of people that sort of go this way. Whoa, be careful. Do not do X, Y, and Z, or P, D, and Q will happen. And they go, okay. And I go, do you hear me? And they go, okay. And I go, seriously, this is what's going to happen if you do this. And they go, I heard you. And then I leave and I come back and I go, what happened? And they go, we did X, Y, Z and PDQ happened. And then I say, will you please just tell me in advance that you're not listening so I don't have to get the long-winded, here's why PDQ is going to happen. I do that. That's my whole life. Me explaining what's going to happen and then it sort of happens. Now, here's the question.
Right.
And I'll tell you how it pertains. I told you yesterday that I was talking to my mom, and she said, we're going to bake some pies, and we're bringing them to the party. And I said, well, there's going to be 30 people there. How many pies were you planning on? And she said,
how would I know that?
Two pumpkin pies. And I said, Dad, that's not nearly enough. That's enough. One and a half is going right to my head.
Just so you know, there was pie discussion behind your back.
Well, there was.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure that you were implying that this didn't happen to you.
So I said to my mom, that's not nearly enough pies. And she said, well, not everyone has to have pumpkin pie. And I said, yes, they do. And they at least need the option. And I'm going to need two or three pieces. I need the two Thursday night. Then I need the one Friday morning and maybe one Friday afternoon. So that's four pieces right there.
Yeah.
I peeled off $60 and I said, here's $60. Go to Marie Callender's. Now, I don't want to say anything, but I'm thinking in the back of my mind, they do a better pie than you do, moms. And when I say moms, I mean moms across America.
Right.
The one thing I like sort of store-bought, not really store-bought, I like a pumpkin pie from Marie Callender's or House of Pies or 4-20 Pies. I don't know what they do. They're pros. It's not one of these things where they F it up. It's not Rice Krispie Treats. Rice Krispie Treats, you want moms to make. Pies, some pies like apple pie, nothing better than a homemade apple pie where you can taste, you know, still little bits of peel on there. Sometimes you can taste homemade, the crust and so on and so forth. Pumpkin pie, the ones people make sink in the middle, they crack, and then water gathers there. They're like a bad stretch of highway after a light rain.
You know what they look like? Those close-ups of Mars when everybody thought something bitching was happening?
Right.
Look at those crevices, and could that be a water source? No,
yeah.
It's just a tight shot of a pumpkin pie.
The pumpkin pies that people bring over are 7/8 of an inch thick as opposed to inch and a half thick. You know what I'm saying? The meat or something. I don't know. The pros are better, and the crust gets a little funky. Let the pros handle it. So I said, and by the way, knock yourself out on some lemon squares or something. I'm not getting near them, but go sick on some other pie. Let the pros handle the pumpkin. So I gave the 60, and I said, go to Marie Callender's, get 6 pumpkin pies. And I don't care if there's extra. It can stay in the fridge for a week, or you can take one home.
First of all, I don't think that's extra.
Well, it probably isn't. But I got the news from my wife that she talked to my mom on Tuesday, and mom says she's going to handle the pies. She's doing the cooking. In other words, okay, now I'm nervous, and now we get to the dilemma. Here's the dilemma, and you guys tell me. So my wife says, well, what do you want to do? And I say, well, now my mom's capable. My mom is not, you know, right. Betty Crocker or Betty Bonaducci.
How should I know?
She'll bring the pies. She'll bring some pies. But my family does a weird kind of, they're minimalist.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I could say all day long to someone in my family, hey, man, bring 6 of these because we're going to have a lot of people. And they'll show up with 3 or 4 and go, I figure, or, and say, we didn't remember the conversation, or I thought 4 was enough, or whatever it is. So now here's the dilemma. Here's what I need you guys to help me answer. I had the conversation. I said, here's $60. I said 3 or 4 times, 5 different ways, 6 pies, minimum. Minimum 6 pies. She's cooking herself. My wife says, I'll go to Marie Callender's. I'll buy a pumpkin pie and we'll stash it. We'll bury it under the floorboards like an Edgar Allan Poe poem. You'll have your pumpkin pie. And then if the wheels come off the pie wagon, you never want to see happen.
Right,
you do not want to see the wheels come off the pie wagon.
Great race.
If the wheels come off of the pie wagon, you will have your pumpkin pie stash, and thus your night will not be ruined. And I said, good idea. Then I said, wait a minute. Do I have to do that in my life? You know where I speak to intelligent adults and give them money and explain to them 5 ways to Sunday what's going to happen? They can be trusted. She's smart. She's capable. Sort of.
How
she
can
has
you possibly expect me to answer
she's
that.
She's got $60 of my money. She got her marching orders. I told her 30 people were showing up 5 different ways. Let her bring the pie. I got bigger things to worry about. You know what? I'm not going to go through life that way. I'll work on the house. I'll make the place look nice. I'll focus on the feast. Mom's got the pie and she got the message.
Well, pie is very important to you. Are you sure you want to leave any of this to chance?
Don't, but think about that life.
Questions
think about the life where you sort of trust people, you plan for things, and then you go, F it, I'm going. Like, here's what I'm saying. Do you want this kind of life where you say to somebody, hey, man, here's the keys to my warehouse. Make sure and shut the lights and lock it up and turn the alarm on. Make sure and shut the lights, lock it up and turn the alarm on. And then you go home, and then at 2 in the morning, you pop up in your bed, and you go, I'm going down to the warehouse. And your wife goes, honey, where are you going? And you go, I got to make sure the lights are shut off. Do you want that kind of life?
But that,
do you know what I'm saying?
A second question, because you've asked the question and Teresa very aptly answered, but with another question. Your answer is your mom is a thief.
Mm-hmm.
She hears you. She hears the number. Anybody else not hear 6 pies?
No.
Anybody else not hear $60? $60, 6 pies. What she do? She's baking the pies. She's banking the money. She doesn't listen to your show. She doesn't love you. And she's a thief.
Wrong.
There's your mom.
In her mind. 2 pies is enough.
You're only right 2 out of 3 of those, Bonaducci.
It's so cool to have worked here long enough to have gone for that.
I know. What if, though, it's a beautiful thing to just accept that your mom feels that 2 pies are enough, she's not going to bring enough pie, and that you just are prepared for that so it doesn't bother you?
My mom is constantly going through some kind of surgery because she's 84 and is always slipping or something. I have a toothache. Now, if she's awake right now, Mom, bring me a Vicodin. As a matter of fact, it's a bad toothache. Bring me 4 Vicodin. Now, if my mom is awake right now, there'll be 4 Vicodin on this table right then and there.
Really?
Now, she's going to charge me $20 each.
Sure.
But she's not a thief. She's a dealer.
That seems above the market rate.
Absolutely. But I got what I wanted, and we set a price, and I got my 4, and she got her cash. Now, Mrs. Carolla has the cash. He does not have his Vicodin and or his pie.
Mm. If she banked one pie and put Vicodin in it,
now
I think it would solve this problem.
Best
hopefully
ever.
My nephews get to it first. I'm just saying, Teresa, you're right. But she said, I'm thinking about bringing over two pies. And I said, whoa, 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 we're going to have 30 people, and that's not nearly going to cover it. Bring six. So do I really have to sneak out and grab the supplementary pie?
Only you know her ability to hear you.
Ooh. Yes, you do.
I better get that. better get that pie. All right, I just don't know. Now I'm thinking about it.
The man who has to wake up and turn off the lights in his warehouse ends up with 12 pies by accident. Let's kill ourselves.
I'm...
He can afford the 12 pies. He'll be happy with the 12 pies. I'll bet we have to roll his ass into work on Monday because he ate 12 pies.
Here's what I'm worried about.
Let him
about.
Have what he wants. He works at 4 in the morning, for Christ's sake.
Here's what I'm worried about. Here's what I'm worried about. I have found that when somebody says something like, here's what I'm going to do, and you go, oh, no, here's why you shouldn't do it, it's too late. The trajectory started. Yeah. They started the countdown on their launch sequence. They're like they're like spaceships that come with a self-destruct mode. I don't know why. I'm not sure if the space shuttle has one of those built in or it just happens every third mission. But either way, there's that scene in the sci-fi movies where they go, self-destruct system activated, and then it starts counting down. And by the way, if I'm building spacecraft and I build the self-destruct, I'm going to build an override button.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't once it starts. I have found with people, they once they start down a certain direction, that's the direction they're going, and there's nothing that can stop them from
it. So I'm right across the street. The easy button, it's about, you know, a foot wide, and you hit it, and it says easy, and it stops everything. Put that in.
I will.
$20 billion self-destruct and a $3 easy button that stops it.
We should ask my dad about this when he comes in.
How long was he married to your mom?
Hello?
How long did it feel like?
That's different.
Both the real time and how long it felt.
Because you got to do it in like dog years. Real time, probably 8 or 9 years. What it felt like, you just do the dog math. 72 years, something like that. 85 years.
Maybe he'll have insights.
By the way, though, to be fair, my mom could do the same dog year math.
On him.
I would say it's safe to say that they were married for about 9 years, but it feels like it's in the mid-70s. Right. Willard Scott actually showed up on their 8th anniversary and wished them a happy anniversary.
That's awesome.
Well, he did the weather from their decrepit living room.
On the porch.
The porch was a little dangerous to stand on. They couldn't get them and the crew on there. You wouldn't want to set it. It wouldn't take the weight of the camera. So my point is, for my mom, it probably felt like it was into the 90s.
Well, let me ask you this.
My wife, too, I think.
Back in your movie, The Hammer, and I'm just assuming in real life, you had a pickup truck, and the door was broken. So it had, what do you call that thing that's...
Bungee cord.
Yeah, bungee. Okay. You had a bungee holding it shut. Mm-hmm. So every morning when you got to the car, I imagine you didn't try the door, realized it was broken, bungee cord it. You knew that it was broken, so you just walked around and you adjusted. If every day you went to the car and were frustrated and knew that it was broken, that would be a horrible life.
Yeah, but, you know, there's this thing, there's this part of life where if you it then becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where you start expecting everything to be broken and everyone to disappoint you and nothing to work out. And it's not true. I wouldn't, you know, trust my mom to build me a soapbox racer, but I think she can handle the pies and I think she got the message. I'm just poised, and once I get poised, I will go into a booze-fueled spiral at about 6:45 in the evening if I don't get my pie. That's all. All right, we need to take a break. Quickly, Bonaducci, I'm going to give out my cranberry recipe. Ooh. This is exciting. My personal trainer guy ran into Danny the other night at a Thai food restaurant and said he couldn't have been nicer.
Everyone says Danny was the nicest guy
on the planet.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Everybody does say that.
They do. There are tons of people. Every
some
time
people hear about me.
No, but you're very smooth with your fans.
Danny bends over backwards to be super friendly and personable in person. And
I think they
have an expectation. Right. Because they're guys that are nice guys, and when you meet them and they're nice guys, they're not surprised they're a nice guy. Danny, everyone thinks, is going to be a badass, and when it turns out he's a very nice guy, then they're surprised. So tip the cap to Danny from the trainer guy. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, yes, my actual cranberry recipe. Oh, and I'll tell you, Well, I'll tell you a story about Thanksgiving a few years back where I packed my own cranberry sauce to my Aunt Pat's house, and it did not go over well. Take a break. Give you the recipe next.
Welcome to a Corolla Family Thanksgiving. Now word from the Big Turkey, Program Director Jack Silver.
Gobble, gobble, peeps! That's what she said! Hi-ho! Today, on our Big Thanksgiving Show, the Ace Man gives out his famous cranberry sauce recipe! A Thanksgiving edition of Will Angie Eat It! And visits from Ozzy, the Death Rack Guy, NFL Network anchor Rich Eisen, comedian David Alan Greer, Teresa's boyfriend, Danny's mom, and the Ace Man's dad! Hi, peeps, happy Thanksgiving! Jackman's gonna put the trim in trimmings! Huh? Oh, come on, peeps, consider the ones I didn't go with! Turkey baster, gravy, cherry pie, stuffing, cider, insider, hi-yo, swish!
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. Webcast live at adamcarolla.com. A Corolla Family Thanksgiving on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, as you know, I'm obsessed with people living a cheap life. Not having money, but punishing yourself with being cheap when, in fact, you don't really save any money. These are all the things that don't cost anymore, don't even take any more effort. You just act like you're cheap, and rich people would never do it. Rich people never open a can of cranberry sauce. That's hillbilly. That's backwoods crap. But a lot of people do it. A lot of people slave away in the kitchen all day long. I mean, Thanksgiving is the one holiday where women that don't even cook, cook. And they cook all day long, and then at the very end, fire up the can opener and get the gelatinous cranberry sauce poured into the bowl. I don't go for that. Fresh cranberry sauce is great. And to me, cranberry and the cranberry sauce is the unsung hero of Thanksgiving. It really is. It's the glue that holds all the parts together. You see, the turkey's good and the mashed potatoes are good, but using that cranberry's a bridge between them. You know, they're like the Henry Kissinger of condiments, you know, bridging the gap between all the other foods, physically and spiritually. Put a little cranberry sauce in between the sweet potato or in between the mashed potato and the turkey, especially when the turkey gets a little dry, and then you slide the fork across a little piece of turkey, and then you drag the turkey along the road of mashed potatoes, and you just scrape by the village of cranberry sauce and toss the whole thing in your mouth. It's just a little zest and a little tart, but people open a can, and it drives me nuts, and they think it's fine, and then they're these hillbillies. I like the canned stuff better. You people need to kill yourself right now. Jimmy's ex-wife told me once that she enjoyed the log cabin sauce, the syrup, the maple syrup, better than the pure maple syrup.
How dare you?
I would go to Trader Joe's and get pure maple syrup, and she goes, oh, no, I like the Mrs. Butterworth stuff better. And I'd be like, that's just high fructose corn syrup with maple coloring in it, you witch. And she'd like, nah, I like it better. I was convinced she was just trying to make me angry, and it worked.
Maybe that fuels witches.
It's witch fuel. People are rednecks.
Mrs. Butterworth, tank. Burn her at the stake.
But, I mean, maybe it's the way she was raised.
I'm sure.
Like margarine better than butter.
That's what happened. But listen, you feed kids. You don't feed them. We don't feed our kids. We slop them. They eat nothing but garbage. You know, it's all the macaroni and cheese and top ramen and, you know, all this fatty, starchy crap. Sure, all kids grow up on a steady diet of corn dogs and cheesy puffs. Then your nads drop, you sprout a pube, you become an adult, and your palate changes. That's the way it works. You were listening to New Zoo Review was the best piece of television I could imagine when I was a kid. Yes, I'm an
right
adult. It's coming right at me.
I loved it too.
You got one of them was gay, I'm sure, but Henry Hippo and Herman Kermit the Frog.
Wait,
or
got me screwed. No, right.
Wait a minute.
It was a Muppet.
With Freddy. Yeah, Freddy the Frog.
Freddy.
Sure, alliteration.
This is amazing.
Genius. Genius. That's what it takes to write a children's show. But the point is that I thought that was the best, and then I grew up. Well, listen. Let's not do it. And here's what I'm getting back to. The fresh cranberries don't cost anything It doesn't cost anything to make. Not only does it not cost in money, but it doesn't cost in time. It is exquisitely easy. I do it myself every year, and I make more than I need, and I use it throughout. Nothing better than a little cold spooned onto a little cold turkey the following day. So I'm going to tell you my recipe, and when I say my recipe, I mean the recipe that's on the back of the Ocean Spray cranberry sack. But I'll tell it to you, and I'll modify it a little bit, and that's why I call it mine.
Get out your pencils.
Bald Brian?
My mother has demanded that I make this recipe for the first time this year.
Oh, really?
So I pay special attention.
I brought some over to my cousin Pat and Vince's house some years ago because I knew Pat was going to open the canned stuff, and I said, no, thank you, and I pulled out my Tupperware container with mine in it, and it started a Hatfield and McCoy's like feud.
Happy passive-aggressive day, family.
Well, listen, everybody who doesn't want to be shamed in front of other people, do not do shameful acts.
That's right.
Listen, I'm not attempting to shame you. On the other hand, I'm intelligent and I make a nice living and I'm not eating something that comes out of a can. I'm not eating canned turkey, canned stuffing, canned anything on Thanksgiving.
Fair enough.
Next day, fire up the can, heat up the Dinty Moore stew, and get out the cranberries. I'm eating up with a spork. But on this day, I'm eating fresh cranberry sauce. All right, here's how it goes. You just go get yourself. Now, T, are you going to cook this?
Sad story.
Huh?
No Thanksgiving this year.
What?
Me either, baby.
What's going on?
What are you doing?
My brother just got out of the hospital yesterday. My parents are still back east.
So what?
Batman and I are going to the movies. I don't know how to cook.
Amy's going to her parents.
It's just the two
I'm
of us.
Dead alone.
What? What's going on?
I know. It's sad. But I don't feel bad for myself. I've got a loved one.
Well, why don't you? But look, I've done this alone before. It's nice, especially with your new man. I mean, just go, you know, cook your thing. Yes, have Thanksgiving. Going to the movies.
Going to the movies. That's what I do on Christmas. That's what Jews do.
No, listen, make yourself some. Look. Get make something. Cook my cranberry sauce.
I can
take it
that.
To the movies, dump it on the popcorn.
Okay, what's the recipe?
T, now I'm disappointed.
Dude, no, even my Thanksgiving recipe.
What are you doing?
This year?
Yeah.
Because my wife and I got in a small fight last night, which we haven't done in a really long time. She's been great. But Amy's going to see her parents, and we got in a small fight the other night. Not Amy and I, Amy and her parents and I.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's going everywhere, and I'll be sitting in my condo. And I'm thinking, everyone I know is going to be gone. I'm going to drink a bottle of vodka, not tell you people.
No, this can't happen. I'm officially commanding Danny to go to Teresa's house, and I'm going to command Teresa to cook.
Not doing it. Drunk and moping.
Drunk and moping.
Drunk and moping.
I plan to enjoy
the two dwarfs you don't hear about.
Drunky, mopey.
A lot of porn sleepy. Dressed as pilgrims.
Don't hear about porny either. All right, here's how it goes. And I beg all of you within the sound of my voice to do this year. Now, this is literally how easy it is. You get the sack of cranberries. You take a pot, just a regular sauce pot, just a, it doesn't matter what size, just big enough to hold one cup of water and one sack of these cranberries. Now, what I'll do is just double it or triple it. I'll use a couple of sacks and double the water. But here's how it goes. One cup of water, put it in a saucepan, heat it up. Dump in, now here's the key, it'll say dump in one cup of sugar, but you don't need to do that because it's too sweet.
Yeah,
and
I like it tart. Yeah.
A little more. So what I'll do is do...
Me, I'm writing this down,
right.
Tell me
less
what not
than
to
a
do.
Cup of sugar.
Here's what you do. Do one cup of water and half a cup of sugar because you can put it in at almost any time. So half cup of sugar, one cup of water, bring it to a boil, dump in one sack of cranberries... Stir it once, put the lid on it, lower the temperature, let it sit there for 10 minutes, shut the flame off, and walk away. It is done. You okay. Now have cranberry sauce. Now, what you can do, one second, Mr. Bonducci, yeah. What you can do is you can taste it at some point, and if it's not quite sweet enough...
Throw some sugar.
Dad's playing the trumpet in the next room.
It's warming up. I can't wait for the scatting.
Oh, yeah.
Be prepared to be disappointed.
No, I won't.
You can dump a little more sugar in it. I don't think it needs a cup of sugar. A half is sweet. It's not tart at all. I mean, it's a little bit tart, but it's sweet. And then you just mix in, that's it. You want to put a little lemon zest, a little lemon peel or something in there, fine. Stay away from the currants and the raisins and all the other highfalutin crap. You'll ruin it. Now, turn the heat off, you're done. So, one cup of water, one sack of cranberries, one cup of sugar, heat it up, and then turn it off. As easy as making, like, top ramen. Literally, boil the water, drop the noodles in, and mix in the stirry stuff. Done. Same with this. Done. Simple as that. Question, Bonaducci.
Yeah, thanks. All right, one cup of water in a saucepan.
Mm-hmm.
Half a cup of sugar. Now, that's when you said bring to a boil.
Mm-hmm.
So I bring that to a boil?
Yeah, you don't even have to. You can literally just, you can just put one cup of water in, one sack of cranberries, half a cup of sugar, put the whole thing on the pot, turn the flame on, put a lid on it, and walk away.
I put a question mark then, because I might want more sugar. And, which is okay with you, right?
Dump it in.
Here's the big question. What is a sack of cranberries? I've never seen one.
Good question.
Thanks.
That's how they come. They come whole cranberries. You don't have to pull any stems off them. You don't have to, there'll come a day when they're going to start putting individual stickers on every cranberry.
That's the day.
I put a shotgun in my mouth. But just rinse them off with cold water and throw them right into the pot. That's it. Just rip the sack open and dump it in. However many come in that, that's what'll work. They're always one size. It's the size of half the size of a baseball mitt or something like that.
Like a sack of chocolate chips.
Yeah, that's the Toll House morsels. By the way, what happened to the word morsel?
It's delightful.
I used to hear morsel all the time. If somebody could combine nougat, morsel, and balsam, I would be a very happy camper. I grew up where every third word was newsome. I combined them. I just did it. It was either nougat or balsam. What was the other one you're talking about?
Morsel.
Tasty morsels. Tasty morsel. One ever had a bad morsel of anything.
No, you can't.
If somebody said, hey, I'm going to poop into my hand and then serve it to you, I'd go, no way. But if they said, you want a morsel of poop? I'd be like, count me in. I'm into morsels.
Of turd, I'll have that.
You got to bond on anything.
Now, let me ask you, this magical sack of cranberries can be found at any grocery store?
That's right.
Where they keep the fruit?
Any grocery store. Yeah, usually in the produce department, just piled up in the sacks there. Ocean Spray seems to make them. It's fast, it's easy, it's cheap, and if you don't do it, you're just punishing your own dumb ass. Okay.
And colon.
Happy Thanksgiving. Pops is coming in here next. Pops has brought his horn. He's going to do some scatting with me.
You two have never scatted together before as father and son.
We scatted once as father and son, yes.
How did it go?
It was a C+.
Let's see if we can raise it.
We're going to go up to a B-. That's what the goal is. We shoot for the stars, everybody.
Well, we're on the radio now, so it's professional.
Yes.
So that steps it up a little right there.
Pop Squirrel is coming in, and I can ask him. I'll pose my pie question to him. We'll see what he says. Take a quick break. Back with Pop Squirrel next.
To the Adam Carolla Show's Carolla Family Thanksgiving with clips and video at adamcarolla.com. And now, a very special musical performance from Adam's dad, Jim Carolla, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hell yeah.
Good to see you, Pops.
Hi, good to see you.
Pull the microphone up to the super cooler there. All right, Dad, a couple of questions, and then we're going to get to a song. You brought your trumpet in. We're going to do a little scatting. First off, an observation I had just a second ago. I thought, you make a good old guy. Yes. You know, a lot of guys, when they get older...
He's got a point.
It's an interesting thing. Dad, tell me if you can identify with this at all.
My dad made a terrible old guy by dying.
My dad said to me the other day when I was arguing with him, he said, I'm old. I don't remember as many things as I used to remember. I don't move as fast
as I
used to. And I thought, that's fair. And then I thought, I never noticed you getting old because you didn't have a big transition. What I mean is, there's a lot of guys where you go, oh, man, so sad to see this guy. This guy was a lumberjack. This guy never stopped betting women. He was, you know, this big, big man on campus, captain of the football team. And now look at him. A former shell of his former self, you know what I mean? You just slowly crept into old age, but I don't notice any difference in you.
Good.
Was he chattier once?
My dad has always been a kind of, I mean, ever since, I don't know at what point, maybe age 40 or something, but you've had a demeanor of a more mature man. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing, here's what I'm saying. There's nothing you can't do now that you used to do, is there?
Well, physically, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, there's things I can't do now, yes.
But what did you do when you were 40? Rugby? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Please, Brian. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm telling you that there is a difference in balance and in...
Oh, yeah. Your walks aren't as fast as they were. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, if your hobbies are reading, playing the horn, listening to jazz, going on walks, you can do that at 40 and you can do it at 80. It slows down a little.
Right.
Danny's not going to be able to do whatever Danny does now when Danny's 80. Thank God he'll never see 80.
Right. We talk about my death all the time and how young Amy will still be.
Yeah.
She'll get to enjoy my money at around 30.
No, I was just, I was thinking, you know, like when you, if you're into boxing and you like boxing, you can't box when you're 75 years old.
Reading is a lifetime sport.
But that's right.
Thank you very much for his quick walk.
Play one game.
When I knew him, because his quick walk and that soft-spoken voice didn't sound a lot like that when he would run across the yard and go, "Hey, don't shoot Whitey." And I'd say, "Thank you, Mr. Carolla," and I'd go back to class.
My dad was one of Danny's teachers at the troubled school way back in the day in Agoura Hills.
It was after you'd been expelled from the troubled school that you ended up at this place.
This was the worst of the worst. So, Pops, you brought your trumpet. Quickly, it was asked earlier in the morning, and I didn't have an answer. How long were you married to Mom?
17 years.
17 years?
Oh, you were off by only what?
10 years, just a decade. I don't know. Dad, how long did it feel? Into the 70s or 80s?
How would I know that?
Who said that?
Oh.
That's your ex.
Oh, you don't know that voice?
How should I know?
Come on, you must have heard that a couple of dozen times in 17 years. Play the first one more time so I see my dad's face.
How would I know that?
She's not here, is she?
No.
How should I know?
No, my dad was about to do his first shoulder roll.
I knew she was a ghost.
You didn't think he could move fast?
He moves like a three-toed sloth until that. Now, all of a sudden, he's Ricochet Rabbit.
Before we hear your song.
17 years?
Yeah.
Holy Christ.
Now, does that include the separation?
Oh, no, you can't include that, right? You guys got separated, but you didn't get divorced for another 8 years or so?
About 4 or 5 years.
Four or five? Hold on, Dad. It was longer than 4 or 5. You're rounding down now, brother. Because you guys got divorced. How old was I when you guys separated? Do you remember that?
Let's see. About 10.
10?
Approximately.
I'm a little off on my charts. I thought I was younger. I thought I was more 8, 9, and I thought you guys were separated for 7, 8 years.
I'm not exactly sure.
And why no divorce? Most people, like Danny's getting a divorce.
Right.
Why no divorce?
Well, neither one of us were going anywhere, or we didn't have any money in those days, and so we just lived our separate lives until something came up to do with
this. So when you guys separated, it was for good. You both knew it was for good, but no reason to do the paperwork and get the lawyers.
Something like that.
And did you just leave? I mean, you had a car, right?
Yeah.
But that's it, right?
That's about it, yeah.
You just got in your Volkswagen and drove?
No, I lived at the grandmom's house.
Now, whose mom would that be? Your mom?
No, your mom. Your mom.
Your ex's mom. How was that?
I'm just picturing myself doing that because you were probably somewhere around the age I am now. And my mother-in-law passed away about 6 months ago. But I would take my car, point it toward the guard railing, just like the great Sammy Davis Jr. did, and hit the accelerator before I went and moved into her house in Reseda. Dad, that must have been hellish for you.
No, actually it wasn't. I had a small room in their house for a short while. I was looking for a place, maybe a month or two.
Yeah.
And that's when I was working at that school where Danny attended.
Oh, really?
It was that period.
Is that when you screamed at him, you think you got problems? I'm 42. I'm flat busted. I'm living with my in-laws in 900 square foot of North Hollywood. Okay, kid, cry me a effing river.
Danny Partridge is running around with a needle stuck in his arm.
You're 12. You can go to rehab 35 times before you get to where I'm at, kid. Get out of my face.
You win.
Mr. Corolla, did you drive here today in the Honda CRV, which is a great car,
no.
Or the Jaguar that Adam leased you?
No, I'm here. I should say something about that for a moment.
I opened up a cranberry can of worms.
I drove here in the Jaguar.
Yes.
But I've been really working on getting miles on it. I've measured my driveway. It's about 30 yards.
Right.
So I counted going up and back 73,000 times.
That'll get us up to the mileage, yeah, because I leased the car.
Oh, about 9 miles.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're still far behind.
So it's mostly driveway miles, but yeah. When we turn it in, it'll be up to the mileage of the lease.
But Adam, Pops made the adjustment.
I like that, Pops. All right, and Pops, let me ask you one more question. I was 17 years, really. Wow. And when it was after 17 years, just got in your car and drove over to your in-law's house and rolled out your Bambi sleeping bag and called it a life.
Well, no, it wasn't that abrupt. It took a while.
But you had to save some money up to get your first apartment and everything?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No furniture, no checking account, savings account,
yeah,
T-bills, bonds, anything to whack up at all? There's no... Was there anything that you guys split when you split?
Fund that you'd been...
Nothing? I mean, you didn't argue over a crock pot or something where you go like, hey, that was a gift and I got that before we were married. There was just left.
Yeah, it was a terrible time in the sense that I don't know if you remember this, Adam, but when you flew out to Menominee, Wisconsin. Well, there I go.
Menominee, Wisconsin?
Menominee, Wisconsin. My dad was what you call an international playboy.
Yeah, life in the fast lane.
Cherry Hill, New Jersey, Menominee, Wisconsin.
Kenosha, Wisconsin. To the man.
He'd be the guy in the white smoking jacket. He'd say, give me my insurer, shaken, not stirred. And then we'd go to the mall. All right, sorry, Dad. Menominee, Wisconsin.
That was, I don't know if you know that, but that project was a project that could have made a lot of money for that person that I work with. And when that went bad after about a year, all the investment made in that and time and money and so on. So when I came back to Los Angeles, from New York to Los Angeles, we were broke as a family, and the marriage was not well.
Was Menominee, Wisconsin, the house that had chamber pots?
No.
Wasn't that one. But no. There was a chamber potted house. There was a house that had chamber pots under the beds and an outhouse. I remember that clearly.
I see. When you mean, yeah, we had like a little cabin. Is that when you went to Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Because I was at the University of Wisconsin.
I was raised like a young Abe Lincoln.
What were you doing at the university?
Gay and depressed. And about to get shot.
What was I doing at the university? I went there to study with a French anthropologist that found a way, this is a long, long story, but just let me give you a line, to read affect and almost know what a person's thinking. So he knew how to do it, and he had a little laboratory there where he taught foreign students and so on. And the company I worked with, they really were interested in being able to read affect.
Can you?
Uh-huh.
He can tell you think he's pathetic right now, by the way.
I don't.
How dare you?
What is Adam's affect saying?
What do you say? What do you see, Pops?
Crazy about your father. I see that in the
He said that to every single person that walked through the door.
No, but if you look at me, I am affectation central. This got to be pretty easy for a man of your stature and ability.
This could get uncomfortable.
Well, it's got to start game.
Don't pussyfoot.
Yeah, I have no feelings. Or soul or heart.
I do. Got to take a sip of water.
All right. What do you think, Pops? Check out Danny and Teresa. What do you think? Do you have anything pop to mind? I know that was many years ago.
It was many years ago. A different.
And did you learn successfully how to read people's affect?
I did for what it was at the time. It didn't turn out to be. It was more of a solo performance of this anthropologist. But I learned some of the aspects of it, and I did a lot of reading at the time, it's something I could always do a little bit.
Could you get a read off of Mom? Should I be worried about her bringing the pies on Thursday? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Is she going to bring the pies?
I'm worried a little about the pie.
How would I know that?
Should I be worried?
No, she'll bring the pies. That much she can.
Really?
She'll bring five pies from Marie Callender.
Hey,
yeah.
Bald Brian, play the thing three times. Let's see if my dad has a seizure.
How should I know? How would I know that? How can you possibly expect me to answer that?
I just read his affect.
Yeah, Dad? You all right?
What I did for the children.
That's right. There you go.
All right, we need to take a break. I'll tell you what we'll do. When we come back, Pops, you blow out your spit valve. I'm going to have a cup of coffee, and you're going to play your horn, and we'll do some live scatting on the air. Back next, celebrating Thanksgiving a day early with Pops Corolla.
Corolla Family Thanksgiving.
It's called Thanksgiving, not Thanks-taking or Thanks-eating. Thanksgiving.
Featuring Danny's mom, Betty. A special musical performance from Adam's dad, Jim. An all-Thanksgiving version of Will Angie Eat It.
I wanted my turkey.
David Alan Greer and Maya Angelou with a special Thanksgiving blessing. And the story of the first Thanksgiving, starring the deaf frat guy.
Hell yeah.
And Oswaldo.
It's very funny.
Adam Carolla's Family Thanksgiving.
The thing about Thanksgiving boozing is that people, they may booze twice a year. They're not good boozers.
It's amateur day.
That's right.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Pops Carolla.
In the hizzy.
Jim Carolla. Dad, we were talking last time you were in here. I was asking you your dad's name.
Hell yeah.
He had a great name that I forgot about or didn't know about, Giacomo. That's a great name. Giacomo Carolla, that's a name.
Did we ever figure out who that famous Giacomo character is? It was driving me crazy. Historical Giacomo?
I didn't know. I don't know the historical.
Or discoverer.
Sounds. Yes, it sounds familiar. I think he painted while he was discovering things. Maybe he painted the things he discovered. Hey, Dad, we talked about my middle name. I don't have a middle name, and there's no story behind it. But what's your middle name?
Let's see. In English, Felix. That was an old relative that when I was confirmed, a relative stands for you, and his name was Felix Mancini.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a great jazz name, though, Felix Mancini.
Yeah.
That's a guy who can play a sax, right?
Yeah, but he's black and shoots heroin first.
Felix Mancini. So your middle name is Felix, which I suspected, but there's nothing else. There's nothing in Italian or anything like that.
No.
All right. So, Dad, you brought your trumpet.
Yes.
You're going to play a song. You have some music to go along with it. What's the first song we're going to hear?
May I introduce the
song? Sure.
Okay, the first song is... it's a really lush ballad, and it's got the dream of every solo player is someday, if you could ever play with a string section, it's the most wonderful feeling to have strings underneath you and play a melody. I can't tell you what it feels like. It's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And, better than the cot that was underneath you at Grandma's house in 1974?
Right. Much better.
You paint a nice picture, though, man.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
And why Thanksgiving? Why, when we talked to you a few days ago, we said, just pick out a song that you feel would be right to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Well, this is a very beautiful arrangement by a jazz player who eventually was schooled enough in orchestration to get to the point where he could write for strings. And it's very beautiful. He knows, because he's a jazz player, he knows what kind of a foundation you need to just ride. I mean, just,
so no answer. You felt like playing this song.
He wants to have the strings
nice
under
song.
Him. I think we have the strings.
Right.
And the second one is a jazz, it's called the Work Song. It's about, really dates back quite far.
Is that the one we're going to scat to?
That's what we're going to scat. And I don't know if maybe others are interested if you want to do any scat.
Hold on. Danny scatted with the Tuvan Throat Singers many years.
Oh, okay.
And we have some of his earlier jazz releases.
They harmonize inside their own throat.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
I know that.
He's known as the Ella Fitzgerald of Chainsmokers.
I actually don't harmonize. I just have people living in there.
He doesn't... He doesn't break glasses. He breaks jaws. All right, Dad.
I like that.
I'm going to leave it to the Corollas. I'm
and hearts.
It.
You ready?
Yeah.
You got the trumpet fired up, cleared the spit valve. Bald Brian, you're going to play the accompanying music. And here we go. A little Thanksgiving music.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm going to be on eBay. Wake me up when it's over.
It's good.
Song, there'd be a rap on the door, and my grandma would yell, "Lights out."
Take out the trash.
Improvisation.
All right. I'll give you a location. Oh. Two things during that performance. A, that my dad is a wonderful trumpet player, and B, there's a 79 308 Ferrari with no reserve.
Adam,
no reserve.
When Jack was asking for more TNA on our show, do you think he meant trumpet?
I'm sure he didn't. Dad, nice job.
Really
beautiful.
Good job.
I like the improvisation.
Really
still
good
got
job.
The chops. Now, it is getting close to scatting time. My dad enjoys scatting. I don't know when you enjoyed scatting, because I don't remember you doing a lot of scatting when I was growing up. You skedaddled. I remember a fair amount of skedaddling and a handful of fleeing, but almost no scatting. Mm-hmm. When did the scatting bug bite you, and where can we get you vaccinated?
Well, you didn't know, but I scattered a little along the way as a trumpet player along the way. I just began. In other words, when you improvise, you play your horn, and there's a lot of choruses to do. Then you could do it with voice and sing and scat.
I have a question for you. When you were playing with or during the time of Miles Davis, by today's rap standards, the language they use and the racism they use, do you think Miles Davis was a more serious racist than today's rap artists?
I don't really know. I didn't know him.
He wasn't fond of Whitey, though, was he?
And said so out loud, man, which I gave him credit for. Didn't appreciate it a lot, but I gave him credit for saying it out loud.
Don't like white people.
There he is right there.
I can't get over Giacomo Carolla and what a great name that is, with this middle name son, Felix. Felix and Giacomo Carolla just sound like an unbeatable team.
It's true. You should have another kid.
Your dad passed away when you were how old, Dad?
Let's see. We both did a one-nighter. His bus went one way, and my bus went the other. I was only 19 years old, and he died before he got to the job. The bus turned over, so he died in a one-nighter.
So he was playing. He played the trumpet as well.
No, trombone.
Trombone. And you're both going to the same gig or a different gig?
A different gig.
But one night gigs. And he's heading where? Do you remember where he's heading?
He was heading towards the Valley Forge Hospital. It's a big veterans hospital in Peoli, Pennsylvania, right outside of Philadelphia. And I was doing a jazz one night with a big band, young folks like myself. And he was worried about me. And he said, I was going to one bus, he went to the other bus. He said, really be careful. He's really worried about me. And so he died on the road. Sort of. And
Bus crashed on the way to the Veterans Hospital.
Yeah, it was a van. It was kind of a van.
On our last Music Monday, didn't you say that theme was played out?
Yeah.
Did anybody else die when the bus crashed?
No, he was the only one because he had to hold his instrument. And he had a trombone and the case of a trombone sticks out like a bell.
Right.
And he had it on his chest. And the car turned over and a rib. He would have lived. All the rest of him lived. But the rib punctured the heart. So he died.
Hey, Daniel.
Yeah, Adam, how's it going?
Good. What's happening?
Just wanted to say, every time your dad plays, it just takes me to another place. I can see pictures in my mind when your
Kevin
dad plays.
Kevin and Bean.
It is. takes him to another station. Thanks, Daniel. No, look, it's true. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking about this. I was thinking about scatting. And, you know, what you try to do, what we long for as human beings is escape. That's why people get into drugs, sex, skydiving, the rush, gambling. Right. You know, when you're gambling and you roll those dice and they're rolling, heading to the end of the craps table, you're not thinking about anything but the dice. When you scat, and I imagine playing jazz trumpet or just scat verbally, nothing goes through your head other than scatting. You don't scat and go, geez, I wonder if I left the oven on. Or scat and go, man, who's going to take care of my retirement? You just scat. I mean, that's probably why jazz musicians, if you think about, Dad, what do you think about this? Here's a theory. Here's a psychological theory I just came up with. Jazz musicians are probably amongst the most irresponsible people on the planet. They don't have money set aside for retirement. They have kids spread out all over the country they've never seen before. They don't have a button-down life. They long to sort of be out of it in a way and be up in that ether. That's what the playing is. And then when they put the horn down or they stop scatting or they get home, they can't just flip the switch and get back to thinking about responsible things. They just do heroin. Do you know what I'm saying? Is there a correlation there between jazz and scatting and sort of escaping?
Well, one thing is that the feeling of playing jazz is really an extraordinary feeling that you almost have to play it to really realize where you can you can go because you're taking off on a pattern of structure, of chords and so on. And you're taking that pattern and you can move it according to whatever ability you have. So when you make music together as all jazz players and the groove is really good, which I hope we get into one right now because this is a good organ trio, then that feeling is so good that you just want it back again. You know, it's kind
right.
of like
but
a
you
drug.
want to do heroin when you're not on stage.
Well,
Dad,
no,
thank God
don't.
You're never good enough to do heroin.
You don't know that to be true. Have you ever done any heroin?
No. Oh,
yeah.
No,
my dad doesn't drink, but we're getting lit up like a Christmas tree tomorrow night.
Two things. One,
I'm getting sloppy drunk.
I think my mom's going to eat you alive when she gets here.
You're sleeping at grandma's house. You ain't driving home.
And two things. Can people scat? I know they can scat back and forth, but can you scat simultaneously? Because they're not like real words.
Interesting. Dad, can you scat simultaneously? Can we scat simultaneously?
Or do you scat, then he scats, then you scat?
If they agree
on... We all scat for scat scream, Danny. That much we know.
I know that.
If you agree on the pattern, let's have a go. The pattern would be something like jab-a-dup, dub-a-dup, dub-a-dup. So if you want to do the same thing I'm doing,
right,
and then we do it together. But the thing is about all items, so you're not thinking anything. I am because I'm thinking about the chord structure. You won't.
All right. I'm not
going to
think.
So you'll do whatever you
just
want.
Just get into
all
your
right.
groove.
Play
Adam.
That drop of my mom again. Let's see if he can focus
no, that's
on
mess
the chord structure.
How would I know that? How would I know that? How would I know that?
Do you think you could scat with that in your brain, Dad?
I just shove that into
took
your
took him
chest.
20 years to get that out.
And now it's back in.
How should I know?
I saw him 1 year after they separated. He had a swizzle stick in his ear. And I said, Dad, what are you doing? He said, shut up. Light surgery. All right. Shall we do a little scatting, Pops?
All right. This is the work song. It's an oldie. Really, remember, jazz dates back to the black church, really, in the kind of Civil War period. Where great frustration was for a people that was really stuck in that imprisoned by that kind of life they had. And the church was the only place they could really let loose. And this is like something that would go way back to the working period. We're working in the fields, and it's called the work song.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
All right.
One, two, three.
I thought we're going to hear falling.
Now we're going to do four. yours, Adam. I'll tell you. Go ahead, go.
I'm gonna lease you a donkey if it's the last thing I do.
Badoom, ball, jaw, badoom, ba, badoom, ba, badoom, wee, the bridge, badoom, ba, badoom, ba.
You come in a Honda and you'll leave in a stretcher, old man.
Badoom, badoom, ba, 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 ba. Okay, come on, Adam. Here we go. Ba-ba-do-bop.
I put the turkey baster where the sun don't shine. Shoot, boo da doo ba boo da doo da ba doo da doo ba cha cha ba 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 doo 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 doo
Okay. Dr. Jan Adams may have killed Kanye West's mom, and it's very sad. He was on Larry King, and he walked off.
Don't you want to speak out? You don't want to.
I'm not musical.
All right, Pops. Great job, Scatting. Dad, great job. Scatting was a fantastic idea.
The horn playing, no playing around, was absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
I never understood scatting, but then I realized just now you're not saying words, so I really don't have to understand scatting.
That's right.
You worked in the words.
All right, yeah. We need to take ourselves a break. T's got the news coming up. Pops, we'll see you tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And nice job. A quick break. Back with the news next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show's Carolla Family Thanksgiving with clips and video available at adamcarolla.com. Number one Jewish news reporter Teresa Strasser, her boyfriend Batman, and the news on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. That's John Hyde, by the way. Well, Pops Carolla's packed up his trumpet. He's hit the road, but we'll see him tomorrow night.
What do you do when you're a comic and kind of a wild guy like you and irreverent, and your dad comes in and he's that good? Do you just suck it up and go, wow, he's that good?
Yeah, it's weird. My dad had a trumpet renaissance in the last, like, 5-8 years. He didn't play that much when I was a kid.
Who said that?
I think he was depressed or something. I didn't hear him. He played some. Always played some, but he never really did it. But it's interesting that, I was thinking about, like I said, I don't notice my dad getting old because that's my dad.
Right.
My dad, it's like somebody took something and turned it down 20%, but it's exactly the same.
Right. It's like when somebody loses weight right in front of you, you don't really notice. But
right.
If they lose 20 pounds and you weren't there and you come back, you go, oh, my God, what happened to you?
Or maybe more to the point, if they go from 300 to 280,
that's
you don't notice the weight
my
loss.
My dad went from 300 to 280. No, my dad's always been, he likes reading, he likes jazz, he likes going on walks.
How old is your dad? Into his 70s?
Oh,
how would I know that?
My dad's 70. My dad's 76, maybe 77.
God, he can really play.
He, like I said, my dad, I hope he takes this in the spirit in which it's intended. He's like a car that's not a very good car, but it has almost no mileage on it.
Right.
And at the time, now here's what I'm saying. That's right. He mirrors the car I lease him. No, here's what I'm saying. In 1977, if you pulled up in a burnt orange Chevette, people would go, that's a lame car. But if I opened my garage in 07 and there was a almost brand new burnt orange Chevy Chevette, you go, that's kind of cool.
Rocking.
That's kind of cool. That's what my dad is. It's like a crappy model with no mileage.
I can't believe that his father died when he was 19 and that he died on the way to a gig in a bus crash.
One of the reasons I like having my dad on the show is I get to find out all kinds of family history, like his dad's name.
Yeah.
No, I knew his dad died. I thought he was younger. My family doesn't have photo albums and talk about history, and people don't know that much about each other. I didn't know his dad's name and other things like that. So when he comes on, I can ask him, get a little education as well. All right, T.
Yep.
What's in the news, baby girl?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Well, this will make us all feel good about not traveling today or tomorrow. Today is traditionally one of the nation's busiest travel days of the year, with an estimated 38.7 million Americans set to up and go.
Yeah, I saw CNN this morning that 19 hours of coverage from the Denver airport, guys standing in front of baggage handlers going, oh, it's busy. It's the busiest travel. Yeah, we get it.
We get it.
And then this one, which is trying to weave in another one of the retarded stories. You know, with gas prices skyrocketing, that's not keeping people off. Of course it's not. I've said it 1,000 times. If your entire family is in New Mexico and you live in California and you're planning on driving the minivan with the kids and everyone else out to see them, and gas is currently $2.91 and now it's gone up to $3.05, are you scrapping the New Mexico trip because it's an extra $1.85 each way? Jesus Christ. It's a non-story.
It's a non-story. Amy's taking my new Power Honda from Valencia Power Honda. It probably gets 40 miles to the gallon, maybe more. You know, she's going to zip out there with the roof down. No, she's not scrapping any plans.
I've said it 1,000 times. If you're going from here to Arizona or San Francisco, or look, you're not going to drive to Missouri. You're not going to drive to Wisconsin. You're going to drive to a neighboring state. You're going to drive 200 miles, 250, maybe 300 miles. Most cars get 30, 35, 40 miles on the highway. Do the gas math. Gas goes up 6.5 cents. 300 miles, 30 miles to the gallon. What is that? $1.75? Who cares? Non-story. Go ahead, T.
Well, here is a story. Dramatic goings-on on Larry King Live last night.
Yes, yeah. Right.
Dr. Jan Adams, the plastic surgeon who operated on Kanye West's mother, Donda, the day before she died, was supposed to be on Larry King Live last night, and he was, but only for 1.5 minutes.
Yeah.
When the show started, Larry King announced that Adams had just received a letter from the West family saying that if he went on the air and talked about Donda, they would go after his medical license. So it wasn't until after the first commercial break that Adams even appeared on camera. And when he did, it was only to tell Larry that he would not be speaking with him. Now, here is Larry King.
I wish Parrish would have done that.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I explained the story pretty well when I scattered it. But in case I left something out, here is Larry King.
As we go on the air, Dr. Adams, who arrived a little late because of plane difficulties, is in our green room with his attorney talking to our producers. Dr. Adams apparently received a letter late today from the family of Donda West, the late Donda West, threatening that if he were to go on this program and give any kind of attention to Miss West or her family, they would ask the California Medical Board to decertify him, literally taking away his license to practice medicine. He has said he does not want to break any promises to that family. We have said to him we'll discuss things other than Donda West about him and his practice, and he is now deciding what to do.
Well, here is Dr. Jan Adams.
And we now welcome to Larry King Live Dr. Jan Adams, the plastic surgeon who performed plastic surgery on the late Donda West, and understand you want to say something.
Yeah, Larry, what I really want to say is I want to thank you for this opportunity. Basically, I had come here to talk about things in the press that aren't accurate about me. But I have a tremendous amount of love and respect for the West family, and they've asked me not to go on. And I've said from the very beginning, I don't have a side in this. They are my side. And so I'm going to respect their wishes.
Now, here he is walking off the set in the middle of the show.
When you ever answer a question, I mean, where does this go?
Well, I will talk with them.
Mrs. West.
I will talk with them. When they're comfortable, then I'll be comfortable. If they're never comfortable, then I'll never be comfortable. They are what's important to me. I said that from the start, and that's what I'll continue to honor.
Then just a few things having nothing to do with them. Don't you want to speak out?
No.
You don't want to?
No.
That's him getting out.
All right.
Taking off
the mic. You came here to speak out.
That's correct. But I'm going to honor their wishes.
He's out.
I watched it live, and unfortunately, Larry King, who's not as sharp as he used to be, then interviewed the chair for the next 42 minutes.
And by that, you mean Dr. Sanjay Gupta?
Do you recline? Oh, so that's the way you want it. All right. Don't make me get tough on you. Let's talk swivel. Pro or con?
You mean he threw softball questions at the chair?
He actually threw softball questions at the chair. Well, eventually when the producers intervened and explained that he can't interview a chair. He said he thought it was going great.
He gamely interviewed some talking heads from People.
Do you want to eat soup after the show with me? Don't play coy with me. Soup or no? Swivel or not? Are you a desk or den chair? You lazy boy. Get out of my face. You make me sick. Yeah, I feel like he could interview a chair. And now it's funny now because there used to be a time, we always talk about this, you can't storm off a set anymore. You get tangled up. There was a time when they just hung a boom mic over you, or the mic was placed on the desk and you got to go, interview's over, and you could storm off. Now you can storm off, you get 3.5 steps, right, and then you feel something grab your neck and pull you back into your chair. That is the lav mic that goes around. They take the lav. Let me explain something. You guys can identify with this. And he also had the earpiece, which you couldn't get out of, which clips. Weird.
They seemed like they were in the same room.
They clip it on. They were, yeah.
So why is he wearing an IFB?
I don't know why he's wearing an IFB. They clip it. They take the earpiece, the IFB, and there's a little alligator clip, and they put it right in the back of your collar, and they put it right in the place where you can't get to it with either your right hand or your left hand. It's like being stabbed in the small of the back with a pencil. It's like, So you can't go anywhere. You can't pull that thing off. And then the lav mic.
It's up your shirt and off and down your pant leg.
Yes, please, please. This is one of those things in life. Please, let's figure this out for 1 second. Here's how the lav mic works. There's a mic pack. The mic pack's about the size of a pack of cigarettes, and they'll clip it on your belt, or they'll throw it in your back pocket. They'll put it in the small of your back. They'll hide it somewhere. And then there is 42 feet of cord, and then the end of the mic.
Right.
Now, what they have to do each time is figure out what to do with all the extra cord. They wrap it up, and they stuff it in your pants, or they shove it up your sleeve, or whatever it is.
They insist on doing it.
They insist on doing it.
They stuff their thumbs in your pants.
And I always say to them this, when the guy's shoving the extra 19 feet of cord down my pants, I always say this, how far do you think my mouth could get away from my ass? I don't care.
Times it's right up there.
It's right up it. No, I'm just saying.
Sometimes I'm sitting over here.
Shaquille O'Neal's mouth from the small of his back is about 42 inches. That's the furthest mouth from back they can get. Nice. How far is the average guy's mouth from the small of his back? And why do we need 28 feet of cord? And then they always do this one. That's in case a woman wants to put it in her boot or some sort of scenario where women need to hide it places, and then they take the cord and they go up the sleeve and out the sleeve and they wrap it around their abdomen 9 times and they come around and I go, how often does that happen? And how about this? How about you have a lav mic that has 3 foot of cord and you just have it for the 99% of people that use it and you keep the 28 footer, just keep it on hand.
One crazy lady.
Yeah.
Gene Simmons' wife.
In case Gene Simmons' wife comes in and wants to keep the lav pack in her boot or at home. Because this wrap up the 28 feet of cord when all I got to get is from here to here is insane. But you're now chained down, so there's no more popping up and storming off.
Now, there is the reverse, though. I have the honor of having 2 talk show hosts refuse to talk to me anymore and walk off their shows.
Oh,
really? Yeah.
Who was that?
Geraldo Rivera. Was one, and sadly, Jesse Raphael was the other.
What, because he's too classy?
Which one?
Geraldo?
No, Geraldo and I were going to come to blows, and somebody said, you guys got to break this up, and I said, well, I'm not moving. If I move, I lose.
Mm-hmm.
So he stormed off the set.
Wow. And Sally Jesse?
Sally Jesse and I were just screaming at each other, and she just got up and said, I don't have to take this. And
did either of these air?
Yeah, they both aired.
Wow. Stormed off their own set.
Yeah, it was nice. Cool.
That's something to be proud of. Well, back to Kanye West. His mother was laid to rest yesterday in Oklahoma.
How'd she look?
Well, wow.
It's an interesting point.
It is. Disturbing. She did have a tummy tuck, a breast reduction, and liposuction before she died.
Do you know what that is? I know a little bit about plastic surgery.
I thought they just tucked your boobs into your belt. I thought that was when the breast reduction.
No,
and
that's the lav mic. You're confused, Corolla. Mm-hmm. You should never, and I'm not a doctor, of course, so I can't indict Dr. Adams, But I don't know a plastic surgeon, and two of my very best friends, actually my wife's best friends, are plastic surgeons. And they would never do three procedures in an afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, never saying, let me do this, I'll do the tummy tuck. My mom wanted a facelift. Oh, she's here. Mm-hmm. How the hell are
why don't you call me Betty?
She was like 80 or something at the time. And the doctor said, no. I'm not touching your skin with a knife at 80 years old. Are you crazy?
Well, there's some talk that Dr. West had a pre-existing heart condition. Another doctor refused to operate on her. But Dr. Adams, though he stormed off Larry King, he spoke to the L.A. Times, and he suggested a few possibilities, a heart attack, a pulmonary embolism, or a painkiller overdose. He sent her home with a lot of Vicodin.
Well, you know, I don't know how
old. What's the address?
I don't know how old Mrs. West was.
Fairly young.
Fairly young, 44 or something ridiculous.
Oh, she was that young?
She's real young.
She's in her 40s.
Oh, I thought. Yeah. You know, it does. People do die.
Yeah.
People just die.
A lot of time, the riskiest thing in surgery is anesthesia.
But people just die in their 40s.
People just die in their 40s. Sure. Not all the time, but, you know, a certain percentage of the population makes it to 95, and a certain percentage makes it to 45, and that's just that.
Well, a few days ago in Brussels, Belgium, Kanye West was doing a show.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke about his mother, and he said that she would want him to go on with the show, and she would support that. He then had his band cover a song in honor of his mother.
Mm-hmm.
It was an unusual choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll ask you.
Mammy, How I Love You, How I Love You?
No. Was it Dust in the Wind by Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Don't Stop Believin' by Journey?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it Lady by Styx?
Wow. I'm going Lady on
Lady
this
by
one.
Styx.
You're going Lady
yep.
too?
Wow, Journey.
Lou, you're my boy!
Man.
By the way, my mom would definitely really seriously want the show to go on. If my mom croaked and I had a show to do, and I didn't do it, she'd never talk to me again. But since she'd be dead, it really wouldn't matter to me that much. But yeah, she's a showbiz trooper. And that's what she would absolutely want. It wouldn't be just something to say so I could go on and make my money. My mom would want me to do whatever my gig was.
I like that.
I heard him up on stage talking about how she would scream the loudest for him and she was his number one fan. And I realized, yeah, she created the guy who stormed the stage and said, I should be winning this Grammy, and then stormed off the stage. She was his biggest fan. That's got to be weird.
Yeah.
All right.
I think she created such a confident person that he no longer needs his number one fan to still love himself.
Yes. Yes, he does love himself some self. Yes.
Yes, I love this song.
Yeah,
maybe
I do too, and I hate to admit it. It's the Sopranos. Yeah.
Remember yesterday we talked about that dog, Radar, that was neutered and then returned to the scene of the crime at the vet?
Mm-hmm.
And the vet kept him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was out in Joplin, Missouri. 3 days later, the dog went back. Well, a woman named Misty of Diamond, Missouri, heard about the story. And then she saw the photo of Radar in the newspaper, and she realized that was her family's dog who disappeared 7 months ago.
Mm.
Joplin is about 18 miles northwest of Diamond in southwest Missouri. But back then, he was named Happy.
Not anymore.
Forget about Happy. Let's get back to Misty.
Misty
is the
Diamond.
Number one white trash name. It goes Misty.
Brandy.
Misty, Brandy, Cammy, and Tammy. If you get set up with a Misty, a Brandy, a Cammy, or a Tammy, you're getting laid first date.
Yeah, but you should definitely, like, wash the pole with ammonia.
Yeah.
Right.
That'd be a great name. Like, what's your girlfriend's name? Misty, Cammy, Brandy, Tammy?
Just the whole thing.
Yes.
Well, Misty had Happy. Happy disappeared. They tried to find him, and they just kind of came to the assumption that they were never going to see their dog Happy again, now Radar.
They were right.
Mm-hmm.
And this family took in Happy, named him Radar, took him to the vet to get neutered, and he ran away back to the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now this dog has been reunited with Misty, his original family, and he's just downed a couple gnats.
All right. Well,
all is well.
And what appropriate names. With balls, Happy.
That's
without
right.
him, Misty. I'd be the same way.
I've not had a male dog neutered. Oh, actually, I did have a male dog neutered, but the dog died. I should yell at my dad. Is he still here? I begged for a goddamn dog my whole life. That's all I wanted was a dog. I wanted a dog. And the thing about the Corollas,
who's
dogs, dogs and basketball hoops and things like that were way, way too expensive and way, way too much work. Nobody would put up a hoop or get a dog or do anything. It was just too much. They could barely take care of themselves. They weren't going to take care of a dog. But my dad almost always promised me, he said, when I move out of your grandmother's house, I'm going to move into a super, super crappy apartment on Oxnard. And when I mean on Oxnard, I mean on we lived on Oxnard. We lived in Oxnard. We lived in the street. I mean, it was literally the window from his apartment was like 4 feet away from the sidewalk and then the street. It was his car's buzz. He said, son, when I leave this super crappy apartment in 10 to 14 years and move into a house, then we'll get a dog. And we never did get that dog. But somewhere around the age of 32, 33, I'd had some success. I'm living in my own house, and I thought to myself, you can get yourself that dog. What is that dog you always wanted? How about it? The dream died 20 years earlier, but I thought, that's what I should do, and that's what all of you should do. You didn't get that whatever. You fill in the blank. The dog, the bike, the whatever, the go-kart. Right. It doesn't have to be a toy. It doesn't have to be a pet. Just whatever it is you wanted to do. Well, now you got a bank account. You got a wallet. You may not be rich, but I bet whatever you want to do ain't that expensive. Hop on the internet and go find you a dog or a go-kart or a trip to wherever. And I said, I'm getting a dog. And I said, I always wanted a German Shepherd. And I got that German Shepherd, and I named him after my grandpa, Lotsy. My grandfather's name was Laszlo. Although, because we're the Corollas, he wasn't my real grandfather. He was a short order cook, alcoholic, who I heard walked to San Francisco once, was physically abusive, and I never met. But Lotsy, Jew. And that's why I have a soft spot in my heart for the Jews. He cooked, that man. And I said, he passed away a year earlier. And I said, I'm going to name young Lotsy, my beautiful German Shepherd, after my poor deceased grandfather.
Nice.
And I had him for about 6 months, and I loved that dog. And then I took him to be neutered, and he died.
No.
And I swore I would never love again. And I have not broken my streak. It's been almost 10 years.
What a Giacomo dude.
Yes. Oh. Lotsy, little Lotsy, the cutest little German Shepherd, 6 months old, went in to get the...
It's a routine procedure.
Routine procedure and never came back. So that was it. But I want to say, I want to say this.
I'm very sad.
I was.
There's that one girl in my life that still thinks I need my balls.
You want to know the worst thing you could do as an owner? Have the dog neutered and then use it to play with the dog. Go get it, boy. Fetch. He loves to chase a tennis ball. Why not these?
That's cruel.
I should ask your dad. He's a psychologist, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I went to have my left testicle removed, the hospital psychologist brought me in the prosthetic testicle in a jar.
Oh, great.
And wanted me to get to know it, to get to be friends with it, and even name it.
Yeah,
and it
hello?
Made me feel better.
What'd you name it?
I don't know. I didn't have time to name it because it turned out on the table they could fix the one that was broken and fixed it. So I have two real ones.
Well, that's something to be thankful for. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. Do you, CNN?
Oh, I miss little Lots.
So sad.
By the way, Giacomo, I said this the first time, and since nobody confirmed it, I assumed I was wrong. Giacomo is Casanova's name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
dude, that's, you rock.
That's what we're trying to think of, the famous Giacomo. We need to take ourselves a break.
Hey, Adam.
Oh, is Dag in next?
Yeah,
it's good to be here.
It's weird to look out and see David Alan Greer and Batman, two of my favorite people.
My main man, David Alan Greer,
in
studio next.
Now one jive turkey. Adam's main man, David Alan Greer, on the Adam Carolla Show.
What happened to my theme song, you bastards?
Yeah, what happened to Dag's theme song?
Listen, it's tough talk time. Listen, I'm here really... I didn't want to be here today.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be with my family. But the president of the Radio Listeners Association of America called me last minute, asked me to drop through. I don't work here, Adam, so I don't have to live in the inner sanctum of your anus.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you something from the bottom of my heart. Keep your family members off the air, please.
What?
I've never gotten such a deeper REM sleep than when your father was impersonating a Negro. It was unbearable.
Well, speaking of Negros,
Bingo!
Do you guys... do Thanksgiving?
We do African Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
we do Thanksgiving. Are you kidding me?
I'm kidding.
Come on.
We know all about your culture.
We talk about whitey, you know.
Dark meat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Encoded language.
So what are you going to be doing? Because now David Alan Greer was recently married to a woman who is Korean.
Korean. She's of Asian distraction.
And full, both parents Korean.
Yes.
So she's
full-blooded.
Right.
As you like to
so
say.
So you're over there, and you guys are going to be doing Thanksgiving?
Yeah, but I'm going to New York today to spend it. We're going to have our first Thanksgiving together.
She'll stay behind and shoot black people from the roof of your house?
Hello, look out! That's how we met.
Black-owned.
That's how we met.
His wife, I don't know if you realize, she's 8 months pregnant.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, what do you guys got going? Wow, that's it.
You know what we do? And, you know, this pregnancy hasn't stopped us. We're going to make little homemade pornos. Post them on the web like we do.
It's a very specific audience for
that. Well, very specific. Actually, just me. Really?
That's true. You know, take this in the spirit in which it's intended, Dag, because you know I'm a huge fan. But when T gets knocked up from Batman over there, they got a pretty good idea what their kids are going to look like. You know what I mean? Basically, like every white baby, the little baby's going to look like Dag and a full-blooded Korean woman.
Full-blooded.
That could work.
Yes, it could.
It could also bite you in the ass.
Let's pump
the
brakes.
I'm trying to picture that one right there.
I know. You've seen kind of an Asiatic Mike Tyson. We don't want that.
Well, who do we
with
have?
Little boobies.
Do we have anybody we can compare it to?
We have Kimora Lee Simmons.
Yeah.
Easy on the eyes, tough on the ears.
She is. She looks hot and she sounds like a heavyset black woman.
Are you going to give her a crazy cultural name?
Absolutely.
Have you worked something out?
Bella Fontica.
Very nice.
A Cliff the Real.
And if it's a girl.
Well, you know you got to put Asian in
there. Right, a Cliff the Real tofu. Get in the house.
It's almost mandatory. Please teach your children not to laugh with their hands over their mouth.
Oh, okay.
My ex-wife used to do that. She'd laugh, but with her hand over her mouth, like showing your teeth was rude. And maybe that is a cultural thing, that showing your teeth is rude.
Mm-hmm.
But it just makes them seem like meek and subservient.
You haven't met my wife. She's not meek or subservient.
It was mine.
Well, that's a weird cultural thing.
My Japanese wife was...
Our last conversation was, what have you been doing? I mean, all day, have you been... I sense that you haven't paid in the baby's room. And I was like, how do you know?
Well, the brother, I was thinking, you know, the Asians they do the laughing with the hand over the mouth, but the brothers do the hand over the head
when
they laugh. So there's no further laughers apart on the laugh spectrum than the brothers
hand
and the Asians.
Unless the sack grabbers.
Oh, yeah.
The sack grabbers, the laugh.
You've not been to see, like, I don't know, Steve Harvey in concert?
Well, I've never missed that.
That's what I'm saying. Hands, wow! Yeah. Hands going right up to the air.
What about these guys?
You got the crotch grabbers.
So you got hands up, hands over the mouth, crotch grabbers.
Good point, Danny. Good stereotype
Or you have the African-American Tourette's fan member, who you just talking,
oh, snap!
Yes!
Yeah. Let me ask this. I was thinking about this the other day, and it's very, very racist. Not by me,
let's talk about
society. Dig this. You want to hear racism?
Ooh, dig this.
I'm a white guy.
He's talking to you, and you understand how to dig.
I'm a white guy who can barely read.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, dyslexic all the time. No, I'm not dyslexic. I never really learned to read, and I'm not very good at it. You have a form of dyslexia. You should get yourself checked. When a little black kid can't read, people don't go dyslexic. They go, see the system. The system has failed him. So how come black kids don't get the dyslexic thing? And do they get dyslexic? And if they do, how come we never call them dyslexic? And isn't it rude that we don't? We blame the system.
The same reason nobody's allergic to peanuts.
That's what I had to say to that.
The same reason that nobody's allergic to peanuts in Africa.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Wow. Hey, I got to say something right here. I think, Teresa, I don't know if you announced, I just got to the station, but congratulations. You're obviously pregnant because,
you know, that's hilarious.
You gained a lot of weight since I saw you last. You must be in love.
You wanted to throw both pumpkin pies.
Somebody's eating pork.
work for Thanksgiving.
You know, I love you, T. But come on. How many? Ow, ow, ow. She's hitting me. Well, she's hitting me. Tell your wife to get in here and protect you. Listen, I guess he likes the biggins.
He's a chubby chaser.
Seriously, Dang.
Funky but chunky. That's what I say.
Dang, seriously, do you have any names? Are you thinking about names? Is it a boy or a girl?
I can't tell you that because you know the bloggers.
I know. He told us last time he was here.
Oh, he said bloggers, right?
Call them bloggers.
He told I won't repeat
Bloggerina.
It.
Bloggerina!
That's right,
bad.
A current name.
Not bad.
You know the ultimate in ego is whenever somebody names their kid after themselves, but whether it's girl or boy.
Oh, George. Yeah.
David Dillon.
Yeah.
Please get in this house.
I think
please.
Bobby Brown may have had a Bobalina or two.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Bobby Christina.
Bobina Christina.
Jumped to George Foreman.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Six kids named George.
You can't name the name because if you name the name, we'll know the sex.
I don't. We don't know the
He's
name
already
You're not
us.
Toying around with any of the names
we've
yet.
We've narrowed it down, but we want to see the baby first, you know, talk.
Mm-hmm.
Talk
well, that's the other thing, too. You gotta look. You gotta see the puppy before you name the puppy. You may have a Sparky on your hands and not know it.
Yeah. Well, my wife right now, she's, you know, in the whole thing. You know, as you well know, the third trimester is when the wife starts communicating with the baby. You can't communicate with the baby.
They're mm-hmm. like,
I think the baby wants a new car. She told me she wants Chanel.
I do know they never kick when you feel them. Kicking, like they'll go. Oh,
just
be quietly. Just like you're gonna
feel
scare
that.
The baby.
I don't.
That's not that.
Feel
right. Hold on, though. I'm gonna fart. Put your hand back there.
Yes.
Is gonna be at the Ontario Improv. That is next Thursday through Sunday.
Absolutely.
Doing this special brand of stand-up comedy. Bray Improv, December 13th through the 16th. Dag.
Yes.
We need to take a break.
Cool. I got to tell you about this new TV show, too. It's incredible. It's called Something About Miriam. It's the most incredible show I've ever seen.
You're in the show?
No. I was flipping, you know, I like to do my crank late at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was flipping the channel, and I found this show. It is a dating reality show. It's five British guys and this really hot Spanish chick with a secret. You find out later she's a tranny. The guys don't know, and they're all fighting over it.
Danny filmed that in '87 in Arizona.
Dude,
yeah.
No, right. Dude, I'm telling you the truth. They're like making out with her and stuff. And oh, yeah, yeah, doubling down.
Oh.
And I'm telling you, if this show was done in America, there would be murders.
Really, yeah.
Well, how dare you? How dare you lie to me like that about your bits?
Yeah, these British guys are like, yeah, they're not telling them. It's like really
wow, that's rad.
Oh, yeah.
What channel is it on, by the way?
I don't know. BBC I have 300 channels. Yeah, it's like BBC or something like that. But one guy, they're having a massage contest, and one guy goes, "Really, she had pimples on her back." Like, he's getting his spidey senses going, but he can't put his finger on it. There's something wrong about her. I don't fancy her.
I was just thinking about how lucky kids are today. There's so many channels, you don't know the names of half of them. I'm always like, you know, it's on 997 and a half. It's right in between the cage fighting channel, the cock fighting channel, and the golf channel,
yes.
And the free diving channel.
And
it's in there.
Know.
It's in one of those West things or something. What a time. Like, when you were a kid, you're like... We got CBS, ABC, and NBC, and whatever Channel 9 is.
Well, in Detroit, Channel 9 was Canadian television. Let me tell you something. There's nothing worse than CBC. That's Valium.
Oh, really? Worse than BBC.
CBC is much worse.
We need to take ourselves a break. David Alan Greer, Dang. Knock it off, Danny.
I just like him that much.
My main man, David Alan Greer, coming back. He's brought his friend Maya Angelou in. Maya Maya has a Thanksgiving poem to read for us next. We'll do that next.
What? He's doing things in the morning, having a real good time. He's having so much fun, he will make you lose your mind. Danny Bonaducci too. Teresa's reading the news on the Adam Cracker Holy Show.
We're making fun of Dag's people by scatting right in front of him.
Dude, that was so frightening.
That was honky scats.
Come on, Adam. Hip hop de boop de bam, shiddly bop de go.
Oh, snap! See, that's the Tourette's back.
By the way, Dag's eating some of the Thanksgiving feast that we have that producer Angie's provided us.
We've got a lovely feast out here for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dag, you don't think Whitey should be scatting?
Please don't. You have to talk to your father. Please come.
I never talked to him.
Tell him no
more.
This
is no place to repair the damage that he's done to you.
I think this is the perfect place.
Well, it's not fun to listen to, really.
I like it. I can't get enough.
See, I found it compelling
and
cathartic.
Where's your pops? Yeah, her pops isn't here. He's busy fixing Volkswagens, right?
In hell.
Oh!
I got two. One's alive.
Teresa, really, what's going on with you?
Well, what do you mean?
She has not put any weight on.
All right, okay.
Dag.
I guess I'm wrong. You know?
Dag,
I love you either way, really.
Do you want to... Look, the holidays are upon us. You are going to send her into a Vicodin-fueled spiral.
I will not.
Do you understand?
I like Teresa because she likes my... my drink is the vodka Vicky. It's vodka with Vicodin crushed in it. It tastes awful, but it is wonderful.
That's in her sports bottle right now.
Yeah.
It's clear. Everyone thinks it's tap water.
Oh, that sounds good.
Vodka Vicky.
And speaking of vodka.
Money my mom's got.
Danny's mom, Vicky. Betty. And by the way, I like an older person with an older person's name. It's going to be weird when there's a bunch of 80-year-old Dakotas running around 65 years from now and Misty's. I like a Betty.
Me too.
Betty Bonaducci. Alliteration and a timely name.
I wouldn't mind if she started acting her age.
Mm.
She throws back vodka like it's Perrier and then sings in gay bars every Wednesday night.
Maybe my dad could blow the trumpet next to her.
Who does she think she is?
They should go out and hit the road, those two.
That'd be rad.
Betty Bonaducci and Pops Corolla sing the hits.
Parents of Beanlisters. That's what they call it.
And then they scat.
I would not. You know what? I would never bring my parents on.
You wouldn't.
Well, I have too much respect for them. Anyways, let's continue.
Well, Dag,
this is a lot about how you feel about yourself.
It's enough. I love myself. I'm my biggest fan.
You were, definitely.
No,
by far.
Definitely. Yeah.
You were going to bring your friend Maya Angelou in here to read a Thanksgiving poem.
Wow. You know, Maya loves it here.
Mm-hmm.
Peanuts.
Oh, Peanut. I forgot about Peanut.
I'm having a problem with Peanut.
Peanut, the heavyset woman of color, clamp-on earrings, long press-on nails, answers to phones here at KLSX. Yeah, what's the problem with Peanut?
Well, you know, it's Peanut because she always wears the pendant with her name spelled out.
Mm-hmm.
At cubic zirconias.
That's right.
Now, does she spell it as Peanut is spelled, or does she have her own spelling?
She spelled P-E-E-N-U-T-T. Exclamation point. Hi, Teresa. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Peanut.
You're blowing up there.
Hello?
Yeah, Peanut, we need you to man the phones.
Please. You want to hear my new ringer? It's on my beeper.
Well, see, when you got the job answering the phones here, it wasn't your phone. It was the phones at KLSX.
Huh?
See, we have phones here. People call into the station.
Uh-oh. Hello? Hey, DD. Hi. Hold on. Hello? DeAndre keep buzzing me.
Yeah, all I'm saying is, Peanut, we hired you to be a receptionist to answer the phones here, not your phones here.
Let me just get this. Hello? Oh, I'm testing. I broke my press off now. I'm trying to test this. How you doing, Adam?
Yeah, good to see you, Peanut. Peanut, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? You have kids, I know.
Yeah.
How many kids do you have?
Seven.
You have seven kids.
Yeah.
Their names are?
Dante.
Mm.
Dorelia.
Uh-oh.
I got the twins.
With the D? Starting with the D?
What's my twins' name?
Ray and JJ, I think.
Raekwon and Daquan.
Daquan.
I have my little baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is...
Uh-oh. You know this.
Oh, hold on. Hi. Hey, Didi. How you doing?
Maybe you named her after Didi. Daquan.
Daquan. I don't know. I usually have them written down on my credit card.
You're going to go... Huh? You're going to celebrate Thanksgiving with all the kids?
Huh?
And what about the father?
I'm going to celebrate with the kids that I have custody of.
Uh-huh.
How many of those?
Well, it's four and a half.
Four and a half.
Me and Didi going to team up. Her and her play cousin is coming over.
I see. And what about your man? Do you have your husband? The father of Daquanda.
Which one?
Daquan.
Which one?
Well, no, their father. Oh, I see.
Well, I would like to spend time with one of them.
Well, there's two of them?
Well, there's one that I would like to spend time with, but unfortunately, the course got involved.
Oh, really?
I can't spend it. I'm not allowed to speak on that.
Okay, can't speak on that.
Is, you know.
So,
you know.
So,
no, yeah. I'm saying, Adam. All I'm saying, Adam, you know, because I'm getting heated now.
No,
you're bringing it up. Let me explain myself, you know.
Right.
Why you pushing up on me? Back off.
No, I'm just saying.
I swear. Back off, Adam.
She's sensitive about
seven
this.
Children, two fathers? Are there two dads?
Three fathers.
Oh, three fathers. Three fathers.
I'm telling you, this case came when the man, you know, when people push you, they get on your nerve and you just want to scratch out their eyes.
You know, maybe you should turn off your phone. It's blown up.
Peter, yeah, but then I can't hear.
You're blown up. But no, Peter.
Hold on. Hey, Dee Dee, how you doing? How many, huh? I can't hear you. What? You breaking up?
He calls a lot.
Huh? You breaking up? Well, we'd like to know. We'd like to keep up with
you. So, Pina, you and Dee Dee are going to be with four
please,
and a half.
Hello?
Okay.
Oh, please.
No.
Just, oh, please.
Okay.
Hold, please.
Hold on.
Oh, please.
Pina, don't use that tone.
You saying you can't hold?
Okay, Pina.
You saying you can't? Hold on, Adam. We got a problem.
Okay, well, people call the station oftentimes. Sorry. Their clients call the station.
Huh? What's a client is?
Okay, then let's just get back to one thing.
Yeah.
You are taking the four and a half kids, you and Dee Dee, and you're doing Thanksgiving.
That's my girl.
Now, do you cook?
Dee Dee. Dee Dee. That's my girl. That's my girl, Dee Dee.
I think she may be calling. Now, do you cook? Yeah. Do you do a turkey? Do you do a ham?
Usually, well, what we do is it's called BYOT, bring your own turkey. Hey, look out. Peanut got jokes. Peanut got jokes. Look out, not peanut. So, you ain't said nothing about my puka shell.
So you do pot? Those
my brains. Nice.
Well, I think they may be one of the faults. There may be one of the faults. I can't see it around your neck.
Sorry. Let me lift it up.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, I found a Frito. It's a good thing.
So you guys will be cooking at the house or the apartment?
I ain't say all that.
Were you going out to Boston Market and doing takeout or something?
Boston Market. I like Boston Market.
You really like that place.
Yeah.
That's
hey,
our
Teresa. Can I buy a tampon?
You want to borrow a tampon?
Yeah.
But mine are slender.
No, I have super dupers. I take two super dupers. I tape them together.
Tape three or four of them together.
Yeah. I can loan you four or five if you want.
Just get a roll of paper towels and a shoestring.
I don't like that. That give me a rash down.
I think Dee Dee may be calling again.
Dee Dee. Look at Adam. Have a nice turkey day.
So you're going to just be with the kids or at least two-thirds of the kids.
Yeah, but y'all look at my flip-flops.
Those are cute.
See the front, though. See the front? It's a turkey giblet.
That's cute.
That's nice.
I'm concerned about the phones, Adam, because I'm told that Maya Angelou herself is going to call in, and I don't want Peanut to miss the call.
Yeah,
okay, look, you know what? I'm going to go, but, you know, you call me in here. Nah, you're getting on my nerves, you know. You call me in here talking about Peanut, talk to me.
Peanut, no, it is your job. It is your job.
Huh?
It is your job.
Excuse me?
Your job is to answer the phone. You were hired.
Come here, Mr. Adam. Come here, Mr. Adam.
Oh, no.
Shoot the life out of you. Why are you running?
I'm just
taking my earrings off, Mr. Adam.
No, not.
Oh, you're going to be scatting, all right. Forget you.
All right, Peanut has some anger management issues.
She loves you so much.
All right, can we get Maya in here to read the Thanksgiving?
Oh, boy. Well... I'll try and get her.
When Peanut gets mad.
Good morning, Adam.
Oh, Maya, great to see
Carissa.
You.
Good morning.
Danny.
Good morning.
William. Is there a William here?
This
please.
Paul Bryan.
Paul Bryan. Yes.
You've only known him 2 years.
Absolutely. Adam. while ruminating on my oration today, I felt I should say a few words about a bird. You know, when one meditates on avianiosity, one thinks of great birds we encounter in our lives. The pigeon, the sparrow.
Noble.
Tweety, bird! Today, I recite songs of praise.
Okay.
For the turkey.
Okay.
Oh, turkey. Proud bird, let me praise thee in thought and word. Thou art an eagle, nay, a falcon, nay, a condor. You flap your wings, yet you cannot fly. There is no need, for soon you'll die. To be gutted and plucked and trussed with class after we shove breadcrumbs up your ass. Turkey, we love you. Boiled, fried, stewed, steamed, turkey enchiladas, turkey tacos, turkey! led March 4th to your demise. Freedom!
Maya Angelou.
Thank
that was
you.
Love, Laureate, Maya Angelou.
Well, really I just got a text. Peanut is getting surgery. Apparently she found a doctor.
Uh-oh.
Black doctor who went to Harvard. Good luck with that.
Anyway. Breast reduction. Yeah. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Let me say this. David Alan Greer, DAG, wow. My main man. Brea Improv, December 13th through the 16th. Multiple shows. Big event. Do not miss out. DAG, always great to see you, my brother.
Angie dated Man Cow?
Let's not even get into that.
That is gross.
Everyone makes mistakes.
Rich Eisen from the NFL Network is going to be on the show next. And also Betty Bonaducci, Danny's mom, on the show as well. Hold on a second, Dag. Now, wait a minute. When you think about Man Cow and Angie getting physical, is it have a physical effect on you?
You got to imagine that Angie has woken up next to this man and said, we can't do that anymore. My butt hurts.
She never did that.
No, you don't know Man Cow. Man Cow would wake up next to Angie saying, we can't do this anymore. My butt hurts.
This means Angie was in the car with him after they had sex and said, I got to floss again.
All the pumpkin pie and the turkeys coming right back up.
Here come the crabs.
Just so you know, Dag, the day I went to have it out with this cat and he used Angie as a human shield, swear to God on my life.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that.
did I reveal myself?
The problem was he's a full head taller than she is, so he's still easy to tag. God.
And that's where she got, you know, a wetness in her body after a
do you know
like
that? She also laid down with the grease man in floor wax.
What about the nudge?
Sex with Boomer and the nudge.
Angie's had a cooter replacement, right? They just took the old one off and
they replaced
it. Before Angie, he was just known as the man. Now he's the grease man. It's something he earned.
Please don't throw up again, Dag.
Tell me I can't know. Hey, listen, guys, have a blissful Thanksgiving. Thank I'm up and too. Out. Peace great and times. Chicken grease. Enjoy your headliners. Yeah, Adam Carolla's coming up. Teresa, you're a fat ass. I love you. Bye. Good night. Well,
Words hurt.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. And now Adam welcomes former SportsCenter anchor and current NFL Network host, Rich Eisen, on the Adam Carolla Show.
I don't know what I love more, this song or Rich Eisen. Hey, Rich.
How are you, Adam?
You have a certain je ne sais quoi that probably only affects men. But that's 90% of your viewership anyway.
It could be in my pheromone.
I just love to love Rich Eisen. When I watch him on TV, everything is right in the world. I watch the NFL Network all the time. He's just the same in person. I think it's that Rich feels very comfortable in his own skin. And you know those people? It's like giving a pet to an elderly person. It's like,
It's soothing.
I've never heard that before, but I'll take that. Thank you.
You are that, Rich. You know, I mean, it's like John Madden and a lot of these other guys are great, but they don't make you go,
It's a combination probably of how much you love Rich and how much you love football.
Imagine it's that moment like just before you die. You know, people talk about that all of a sudden.
Yeah, everything. Peace. You see a white light.
And just a blanket of peace came over them.
Let me see, Rich.
A death rattle emanates from your living room.
Thank you. Rich, on the NFL Network, you guys are going to be carrying the Colts and the Falcons.
Yep.
And, wow, seemed like it was only yesterday the Colts were ahead of the Patriots 20-10, and they were the number one team in football. And all of a sudden, pow.
Yeah, I know. They were up by 10 in that mother of all battles with 9 minutes to go, and it looked like they were going to beat the Patriots, and now they're the ones with two losses and an offense out of sync, and their best defensive player, Dwight Freeney's out for the year, and now everyone's wondering who's going to beat the Patriots. I mean, who is going to beat this team that is not only beating teams but putting them in the corner and making them cry for their mommies to make them stop? What they're doing.
I don't know how to get the Patriots to lose. I can get them to not cover. That's easy. All I do is bet on them because the one good damn game I bet on, and I don't know what they've been doing to the point spread, but they've been winning every game by 37 points.
They're destroying them.
Except for the Colts game. And that's where the Ace Man reached for his wallet.
Is that right?
You know why? Because I said they are crushing people. Now, the Colts are winning, but the Pats are crushing.
Yeah, they're ruining people.
And this game's going to be 37-21, and that 5.5 points is going to be over and done with by the second quarter. And somehow the Colts looked amazing. Now, nothing short of a tragedy is going to stop these Pats, and I can't take it. And I can't figure out whether it's ruining the season for me or making it that much more compelling because I can't stop talking about it.
Well, it's like it's basically like golf when Tiger Woods is destroying the rest of the field. It's just like sometimes you just stare at it and you marvel at it, and then you just wish that somebody would come from deep in the field to make a game out of it, to make a match out of it. You know, and with the Patriots at this point, you have to look at the rest of their schedule, and you're hard pressed to point somebody out who's going to be able to beat them. Maybe the Giants, you know, which would be the last game of the year, which is going to be on NFL Network.
Why the Giants, Rich?
Say it again.
Why do you think the Giants have a chance?
Because, first of all, it'll be, you know, in Giants Stadium. It's the last game of the year. The Giants are able to rush just four guys and create pressure on the passer, which is the only way you can beat New England, because you need as many guys back there to handle all the weapons that they send out.
Yeah.
So that's just, you know, the general gist of it. You need to have a team that can put pressure on Tom Brady with the minimal number of guys. And at this point, you just can't find a team on their schedule that's going to be able to do it, with certainly New England having four more home games to go.
You can't find a team in the country. It's not even on their schedule. There's just there's nobody on the planet that can beat them.
I don't know much about football at all. But
you're a factor again. Go for it.
Well, my question is this. Wasn't Tom Brady supposed to be just about over?
No.
You're thinking of Brett Favre.
Is that who's all of a sudden making this great comeback and everybody's going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
A little older.
You're close. He's a quarterback.
Brady took a Super Bowl off, but that was about it.
Yeah.
And what about this other question that Michael
Mack
went
to bang supermodels one year.
A brother?
Yeah.
Does this guy have a brother that also plays in the NFL?
Tom Brady?
Yeah.
No.
You're thinking of
Hasselbeck? Yeah.
And there's another one. There's another brother.
Which one of them throws knives in the circus?
I don't think there is one.
I've got one right. I'm done. Never mind. Huh? Go ahead.
Hey, Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. Can I ask you this?
Yes.
I was talking to a friend of mine over at Kimmel's house watching some football, explaining how much I love your network.
Yes.
And he said, yeah, it's doing all right. And I thought, well, how does that work? And he said, well, they're not as in many houses as they would have liked to have been 4 years in or however far in you are. How is NFL Network doing? How does it work? How do you measure your success, and where are you guys at?
Well, we've been fully distributed, like, within the NFL players and the community, I mean, from the get-go. I mean,
so all the players have your network.
Right, all of the, well, from the start. We're in just out the 40 million homes, and a lot of your listeners may not be able to get our game on Thanksgiving night or any games the rest of the year because their cable company's not offering it. And
what kind of communist-run cable company would not offer the NFL, the biggest sport in the world, the NFL network?
Well, the ones that say that other people don't feel that way about it, which is, you know, which is hard to fathom, but there are some people out there who don't care about the NFL, they're saying, and there's no reason to make them pay the freight for the channel, but I'm sure there's a bunch of other channels on basic cable, you know, like the Bubble Network or whatever the heck they
put on there. Listen, you got Wii and then a bunch of Korean and Spanish-speaking ones. I mean, for the love of Christ, there's Armenian channels and stuff. What's wrong with this country?
We need to send you to the FCC on our behalf.
Oh, but give me my Uncle Sam outfit and a top hat and a big slab of apple pie, and I'm going to pull up in my Chevy Silverado and talk some sense into these retards.
But we need to send you there. There's a big actual ruling that's going down on Tuesday. You know, I my eyes glaze over when I try and read about it. But in the meantime, you know, I got we got eight games coming up, and I got a book out, which is exciting.
That's right. Yeah. Total Access, A Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe with Rich Eisen. Hey, Rich, when are you going to have me back on your little show?
Whenever you want. When can you come back on? When do you want to come on?
Soon. How about next week?
I love it. I'm going to be in Dallas, but I'll be back the following Friday.
Well, then we'll do the week after that.
Yeah. I'm on the road. I think I'm going to call you from every place I go.
Well, has my sports knowledge convinced you that I should be on?
They call him the Greek.
Why not?
Still confused about that knife throwing thing.
Yeah, he could use the knife throwing thing on NFL.
I was sure one of those guys is a knife thrower.
So, Rich, what do we have coming up? We have Indy and at Atlanta.
This coming week. And then next week, it's the Packers at Cowboys, which is a pretty huge
game. Oh, that is huge because Brett Favre and the resurgent Packers are 9-1.
First time since 1962.
1962, and that's a storied franchise, and it's been 45 years since they had this record. Brett Favre looks like a young man, and I love a guy with gray hair out there lighting it up.
He is literally a gray beard. There is no two ways about it.
Yeah.
And he's kicking everybody's ass, too. I mean, he's as good as he's ever been. He's setting personal records, and the team's his best record it's ever been at through 10 games with him there. And they got that mojo. They got that sort of mojo thing working. And if they make it to the Super Bowl, they may be one of those teams to pull that upset off, maybe.
It would break my heart to see the Patriots crush them in the Super Bowl. But you know it would happen. And by the way, I don't know what the spread's going to be for this Super Bowl. I don't know what the record is. I think it's when the Jets played the Colts many years ago with Joe Namath predicting a victory. I think it was like 16.5 or something.
Until the Jets play the Patriots later on the next month. I mean, I think the Patriots might petition the league to see if they can beat a team twice in one day.
Yeah, but Rich Eisen is not going to want to talk about the spread, but for us gamblers, we bring it up on occasion. In college, you see some pretty big spreads. Once in a while, Bowling Green will be playing Nebraska, and there'll be like a 28-point spread. But in the NFL, it almost never gets into double digits. It'll be 7 points or 9 points or something like that. On rare occasion, it'll go up to 12 points if some team's having a great year. But when the Pats play the Jets, and I think they're playing them in Foxborough, I'm not sure. They're going to be at home. They're going to be playing the Jets. And the point spread may be in the low 20s?
It could be a factor of a number.
Because the score will be 54-14.
I mean, this is the team that blew the whistle on the Patriots earlier this year.
Oh, they're going to crush them. And by the way, it's nice to see the Patriots going for it on fourth down when they're up 35-7 with
the
not.
Bills.
Yes, but Tom Brady did take a knee. He did do it once. You know, we complain about them running up the score and going for it on fourth down and going for two and not kicking the field goal and going for the touchdowns. We've all been complaining all year about that. But, Rich, use that great NFL mind of yours and think about the one game when Brady decided to take a knee at the end of the game. What game would that be, Rich?
What game would that be against the Colts?
The Colts. When he was up by 4 points and the Ace Man had 5 points with $1,000 to Cousin Sal. That is the one time Tom Brady's knee has not touched the ground. This year, you know, he's had a lot of supermodels' knees touching the ground, but his knee has not touched the ground. He's literally not been sacked, knocked off his feet. He's never taken a knee except for one game.
You may be one the Rose of football, where all the other gamblers take your lead and take note, and what you do affects the line. Sorry,
Adam. Oh, that's a good point.
New England.
About supermodels touching a sack. It was very weird.
New England is giving away 23 points. To Philly this week. Rich, wouldn't you think that was a typo if you saw that like 2 years ago or a year ago?
And it's still even today, but they just, honestly, it is sort of like being a party pooper. I mean, I was in Denver for the book tour on Monday, and I went to the game, and the Broncos played as well as they've ever played this year. They're 5-5, all of a sudden have a piece of the AFC West. They're giddy. They're happy. 75,000 people are leaving Mile High Stadium sky high. And all I could think of was, like, if they were playing the Patriots tonight, they'd have lost by 30.
Hey, Rich.
You know, the thing is
sort of
we're 9-0.
Rich, here's what I'm going to need you to do.
Yeah.
Now listen to me. Mm-hmm. I need you to infiltrate the Pats camp. I need you to take one of your fingernails and spread a little Epstein-Barr virus on it or chronic fatigue something on
if
it.
I
or
could somehow get my hands
hepatitis
off.
Hepatitis C.
I can get it for you.
Get just something. And then you do that interview with Brady, and then when you leave, you give him the slap on the back. Hey, buddy, nice job. And you just scratch him. just break, just scratch the skin, just break the skin, just break the surface on his neck, and get him just a little bit of, I don't know, a little Hep C. Just that sort of thing where he's doing that thing where they're going, eh, Brady's not himself today, and Brady's like, I can barely have sex with a supermodel. I don't know what's wrong with me. Just something to slow that team down a little, Rich. You'll save the season if you do that.
Well, I'm in Atlanta, Adam, so there may be a communicable disease around here that I can sort of drum up.
Pick something up in hot Atlanta and bring it. Animals. Bring it.
Hit that famous Knicks Gold Glove or something, and then go to Patriots camp and then do your bidding.
That's right. You'll be the Typhoid Mary of the NFL Network. Rich Eisen, everybody. Colts versus Atlanta. Thanksgiving tomorrow, 5:15 in the p.m. What a network. And also total access, a journey to the center of the NFL universe. Rich Eisen, you're good people.
Thanks, man. See you next week.
We'll see you soon.
Happy Thanksgiving.
The great Rich Eisen, everybody. We'll take a break and we'll talk to another great American. Who? Betty Bonaducci.
Why don't you call me Betty?
Danny's mom's. We'll be in the studio.
You'll see where I got it, dude.
She'll be in next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show's Carolla Family Thanksgiving with exclusive clips and video at adamcarolla.com. And now, Danny's mom, Betty, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to meet you in the flesh, Betty Bonaducci.
Well, thank you so much.
If you've met her in the flesh, you owe me $20.
This is going to be a long
Mind
interview.
Mind your own business, kid.
Wait, first we have to do our secret handshake, Ma.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Involved.
I think it's a great handshake.
Hey, Betty Bonaducci, if you don't mind, how old are you?
83.
Wow.
Betty looks amazing.
And kicks ass, too.
Very, very...
Try drinking with her.
Very spry. So, Betty, let's go back to the start, because I was a fan of your sons going way back to the 70s.
I was a fan of my son, too. Yeah.
And what happened? And so you guys are in the San Fernando Valley. Yep. Where do you relocate from somewhere, or is that where you're born and bred?
We came in from Philadelphia in 64.
Mm-hmm. So Danny was 5 years old.
Yep. I think some people four.
It was before August, so I was four.
Yeah.
He must have been 4 years cute, old. Betty. Was he just a cute little boy?
Well, actually, it took me a long while to figure it out. He was a funny-looking kid. He really was. I didn't know that at the time. I just thought everybody loved him, but he was a funny-looking kid.
Yeah, but you wanted to come up and squeeze him and pinch his cheeks. And
well,
so
people
did
that a lot.
And you come out here, and now he throws him over his shoulder, if you, by the way, come up and squeeze him. But then you come up and pinch his cheeks. So now you're living in the San Fernando Valley. That's where I hail from. And you think what? Do you think about show business? Do you think about commercials, auditions? How does it all begin? You have a four-year-old Danny. You're a housewife. You're out in the Fernando Valley. Oh, okay. You're a writer, I should say.
She came out here to write the Dick Van Dyke show.
You come out here to write. Both parents are writers. What gets Danny to the auditions, the pictures, the headshots? How does it all begin?
Okay, well, actually, it was like a script you would not write. People actually did come out of stores and say, why isn't that kid on television?
Mm-hmm. I was discovered.
And
remember a Copper Penny by that Queen you used to like?
Chamberlain.
Yeah, uh-huh. Chamberlain.
So the Copper Penny's a diner out here in the Valley.
And I was talking, and you know how you think that cigarettes and alcohol have done this to my voice, which mm-hmm. have helped. But I've always been described as 8-year-old Danny Bonaducci with the gravelly voice. And I was, and correct me if I'm wrong, I was 4 or 5, and I was quoting Thoreau at the table. Because if you can't quote at my house, you can't talk.
Really?
Yeah. So I said, as Thoreau once said, and said whatever I said, and this head pops up over a table and looks at my mom and goes, you got to get that kid an agent. And it was Richard Chamberlain, who everybody didn't know was gay then and was just super handsome. Yeah, Dr. Kildare.
Nobody cared that he was gay. He was beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my mom wants to bone him and says, oh, okay, mm-hmm. and does his bidding.
Uh-huh.
Take it away, Mom.
So Richard Chamberlain says, Danny, same thing happened to me, by the way. I think it's like we're almost talking about my childhood.
Right, I know.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's how my childhood went. Mom, can I have a ride to Van Nuys? No.
Get a ride from Richard Chamberlain.
That was the end. That was my childhood. If I had like just four words, or if I just wanted to summarize it, that would be it. Could I have a ride somewhere? No. That was the end of my childhood. So you get him an agent. you get pictures and you start going out on auditions, commercials, things like that?
Yeah, somebody found us rather than we went and looked. Somebody picked them up on the street and said, could you come in for a commercial read?
Mm-hmm.
We went in and it was a potato chip company.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said to Danny, will you say something nice about these potato chips? And Danny said, no. And we went home.
Would you at least put the cigarette down, son?
And you went home.
No.
We went home, yes. And then about a year later, he said, that was fun. Let's do another commercial.
And
I pointed out we hadn't done one yet, honey.
The next product they say, do you like this? You say yes.
I
do you like rancid dog meat? Yes, my favorite.
The kid had an instinct from way back.
Yes. Well, it was clear he was a natural when I used to see him on the Partridge Family's 8, 9 years old. And you see these little actor kids, but you realize when you were 8 or 9 years old, I was like, you know, I thought I was going to be a pirate astronaut. And I was playing with army men and I couldn't string together a sentence or memorize a line.
Well,
I mean, that's a skill. That's a gift.
If you couldn't put lines together in my family, you died.
Yeah.
There was no place to be.
So it's weird.
They'd write them, I'd snort them. Yeah. So the lines went crazy. In my house.
Dad was kind of an Ernest Hemingway type, which is he liked to do the writing and he liked to do the punching as well.
And the drinking.
Yeah, no, but without the drinking. When I wrote the movie, the Partridge Family movie, they had him beaten up as kids, but they had a glass in his hand that made him look like he was drinking. And I said, edit that out right now.
Yeah, or somebody would have sued.
Yeah, and they said, your dad's not going to mind that he was beating his kids. He'll mind if he had a drink in his hand. And I said, what would Dad say if you said, did you really hit your children? I say he'd say, obviously not hard enough. Does that sound like Dad?
Pretty good line.
Yeah.
Betty.
Yes.
So what'd you see in this guy?
Pardon the tough question, but why did you hook up with such a brutal man?
I didn't know he was brutal for a very long time. I met him at college.
Mm-hmm.
He was clever.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great writer.
Genius, this cat.
Some way or other, although I never saw him listen to anybody, he did incredible conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he knew what other people said, but he did.
He was a charming guy.
He was, and he was very funny.
So he's talented and charming.
Real handsome, too. Looked almost exactly like Clark Gable.
Yeah.
Wow. So, obviously, you're attracted to the guy. You start a family with him. When does it start to rear its ugly head? When do you start to realize that this guy is brutalizing these kids?
Oh, there's more than that. When did you realize he was hitting his kids and he was a raving lunatic who thought he was Napoleon?
Well, it all started with me instead of you guys.
Oh,
this was about me.
Mm-hmm.
My wedding reception.
Wedding reception.
Yeah.
What happened there?
I got sick, and he didn't approve of illness.
Uh-huh.
And so we had our first big battle.
Sign of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a violent battle?
No. No.
But you didn't sleep in the same room on your honeymoon, if I remember correctly.
Well, that was another story. We went to a place called Hot Springs, Virginia. You should excuse the expression. But I turned out to be allergic to absolutely everything in that town.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Bonaducci, but everything in the town.
Everything.
And we had to hold up a train to New York and go there.
Really?
Because I could not lay down on a bed in
a rocky start to a rocky marriage.
Oh, yeah.
And then the kids came, and then the physical stuff. And
you've got to intertwine, though, because I don't even like the guy. The guy, when they called me and said he was dead, and I'm sorry to talk this way about your ex-dead husband guy, but when they called me up...
He's not ex-dead, he's ex-husband.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they called me up on the radio and said, you might as well just put on a song and leave, your father has just passed away. It was my birthday, and all I said was, wow, he finally got me something. And I finished my show.
Very
sad. And then I went and I got him. But you have to intertwine with all this terrible stuff you're hearing. This cat was a genius. Worth putting up with certain horrors because he was so bright and so clever and so good, but so crazy. I remember when he was writing Good Times, and he would write in our bathroom, and you could all of a sudden hear the typing stop. Because y'all knew you were safe when you were hearing this.
Right.
You're hearing that, you're safe, because his hands are doing something.
Right.
Then you hear this, and you go, oh my God, and everybody'd freeze. And then you'd hear something like this, because he was writing Good Times. Dynamite! Dynamite! I have been reduced to this! I was born in the wrong century! And then we'd all scurry.
He thought he was too good for Good Times.
He thought he was too good for most things.
Yeah. And he was right about a lot of them. He's so, just mean.
So he's a brutal guy, but a clever guy and a brilliant guy. And Danny is sort of wise beyond his years. He's precocious. You take him to commercial. He wants to go to another one a year later. How old is he now? 5 or 6?
No, I think he was 7 by then.
7 by then.
Getting old.
You take him. He's getting a little long in the tooth for a commercial actor. You take him to another place. When does he get his first break?
That was it.
The second commercial audition.
A second audition, he got it. But the thing that was really impressive, this was one of those things where they made a sandwich like no kid in the world would make.
Right. Piled high.
Yeah. And, of course, they have a nurse on the set. And they have the stage mother way far away.
Mm-hmm.
And after a little while, we did a whole bunch of these things where they take a bite of this awful sandwich and take a close-up of how yummy, and then they go away. And after a little while, the nurse came over and said, Mrs. Bonaducci, he doesn't look well to me. So I went up and I said, are you okay? And he said, oh, yeah, I'm fine. As soon as they say cut, I go throw up and I come back and do it again.
Wow.
It never occurred to him that he should not finish the shot because he was throwing up.
That's why I said when Kanye West said my mom would let me go on and who knows if he means it or not, I think if anything were to, and God forbid anything happens to my $2,500 a month apartment I pay for you, God forbid anything happens to you, but seriously, I would assume that you would want me to do my job.
As long as you cry a lot, yeah.
A ton, like a baby. Okay. I cry almost every time I think about you right now.
I'll cut an onion. Hey, Betty Bonaducci, so when does the Partridge Family break come? How does that work?
The father got that. I mean, I know stage mother gets blamed for everything, but the father got this. We were asked to do The Ghost and Mrs. Muir.
Ah, yeah, sure.
And
Bonaducci said, if I write a part in for a redheaded kid, will you give it to my son? And they said, no, but we'll let him read. So he read. He got the part. The people who were doing the Partridge Family saw the show, called us.
So Dad, even though Dad was brutalizing the family, and maybe it was just for narcissistic reasons, he wanted to see his son because it was like an extension of himself up there. But he thought enough about you to write you into something and request. I mean, my dad never hit me, but my dad would never, ever, ever, ever do that in a billion light years. I mean, he would never think about, oh, I'm going to get my son a job here or I'm going to get him a gig there. Never. Nice guy. Wouldn't do anything for
him. I got to tell you that as far as I always called him Bonaducci. His name was Joe. I didn't like Joe. I called Bonaducci because it sings. So this is why I'm still doing that. But thing is, he was not aware that he was doing anything weird. He was a nicer guy than his father.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
So he thought he's the improved version.
Right. That's all relative, what he knew.
He was the improved version, but the father, whoa.
So Joe Bonaducci is the reason Danny Bonaducci gets on the Partridge Family.
Yeah.
And he wrote a part for Danny.
In The Ghost of Mrs. Muir. And The Ghost of Mrs. Muir was a part named Danny, with bright red hair, a genius, and a chess champion. And so they watch the show, and they go, hey, we got this kid, red hair, named Danny, who is supposed to be bright beyond his years. Right. And they call, and I get the Partridge Family.
And so then the Partridge Family mania fires up.
Yes, it did.
This was crazy.
You couldn't have expected the show was going to be as big as it was. Lunch pails, board games, concerts, fans.
I actually never thought about that. It didn't occur to me at all.
At your house with people camped out on your lawn and stuff like that?
That was weird.
That was my dad. They just got divorced. And my grandma threw him out of the house.
He was 9 years old, and this 21-year-old woman would sit out on our steps. And every time I walked outside, she'd call me names because I wouldn't let her hook up with my 9-year-old son. It was very odd.
By the way, have I called you a bitch for that lately?
Yeah,
I'm not. She's 21. Dude, I could have rocked on that all day.
Yeah, it was the 70s. It was a different time. Yeah. Being 9 was like being 19. Pre-AIDS, baby. Come on now. Why are you so uptight?
Must have been weird with the other kids because one's getting so much attention.
My own kids?
Yes,
kids
your own kids.
You're in your own family. I must have been hard to be the mom when one kid's getting so much outside
attention.
What did
Lori and Keith think of that?
Those are his siblings.
Actually, my oldest son was so much the favorite with the father that he never felt threatened.
Mm-hmm.
The other two kids, Danny Sawyer keeps saying Danny was so great, he included us in everything he could.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way in the world to ignore the fact that when you go outside, if you're with this kid, you disappear.
Yeah, yeah. At Partridge Family Height, sure. I couldn't go out without the FBI.
Well, what people don't realize now, and we were speaking about it earlier, there's 500 channels. Back then, there were 3.5 channels.
Yeah.
And
we had 40 million viewers every Friday
every
night.
Episode was like the last episode of Seinfeld as far as ratings went. And Partridge Family, again, we're talking about David Cassidy. This guy was Elvis size big. Mm-hmm. There were groupies and people camping out and going to the hotel and climbing up the balconies and all the stories you hear about. That was all Partridge Family. And Partridge Family not only was a big hit TV show, there were other hit TV shows back then, but they had all the groupies and all the crazed fans that you would have with a hit TV show, and then all the groupies and all the crazed fans you would have with a hit band.
Yeah.
So it was a band and a TV show, and that's what made it balloon
into... We were a TV show about approximately, I would go with Duran Duran, although I think we sold more albums than Duran Duran.
Incredible. So now... At a certain point, Betty Bonaducci, are you thinking, what have I gotten myself into? Or are you thinking, this is awesome?
Actually, my father was old Philadelphia show business. I was walking on stages before I could walk. It never occurred to me this was odd.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I was raising a perfectly normal group of people.
Who's the biggest name? Who's the biggest name that Pop ever gave their first job to?
Dick Clark.
First job ever.
Really?
Given to by my grandfather. Second, Ed McMahon. Given his first job.
What did he do?
He's the program director of radio stations.
Wow. Okay. That's how you got together.
And then TV shows.
Yeah, amazing. Wow.
Why was my dad rebuilding carburetors?
Can you imagine our moms in here doing interviews about when we were 9? It's like, hey, what was it like when Adam played
T-ball? How would I know
T-ball?
That?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I was on a date.
it was wild. I mean, because we got to do some stuff together that was just insane, and Mom was cool enough to do it. Like, Dad, I don't think he resented my fame or popularity because he knew he was the genius. There was no question.
Mm-hmm.
But like one time, they sent Elizabeth Taylor's Rolls Royce to pick us up because we had to go somewhere for me and Mom.
Wow.
And as he pulled up, he hit the brakes too hard and the back seat slipped forward so you could see her bathtub.
In the
Rolls Royce had a bathtub.
Wow.
So I guess she could just pull over and bathe when she felt like it.
Wow.
And
then, in virgin's blood.
We flew on private jets all the time. Like, just Jesus people wanted to
Christ.
Meet us.
Well, I don't
not
like
even corporate gigs. Just people wanted to meet us. They'd send jets for me and Mom.
I don't like to brag, Mrs. B, but I flew to a little place called Menomonee, Wisconsin.
Whoa!
TWA coach when I was 9.
I am so impressed.
So the Corollas got around too.
He's got about $50 million now,
man.
Mom.
I do. Betty Bonaducci, A, thank you. B, I love you.
C, where can we see you sing?
Where can we see you sing? And then D and all the rest of the above. I wish we had another hour to do this. I feel like I'd like to bring you back and get to part two.
Maybe I won't come in that day,
story.
So I don't interrupt her.
I love it. I love hearing the old stories.
So where do we hear you sing?
I'm going tonight, so you can come if you'd like.
To the other side in Silver Lake?
Yeah.
That's where Bill has seen you there and thinks you're great.
Yeah.
Hello, Bill.
That's Bill. He's all gay and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So we can see you tonight at the other side in Silver Lake.
Yes.
He's gay.
Yes.
Bill, that's where you go to get your T cells counted?
That's after I go there.
Oh, okay.
Older club.
All right. All right. Well,
yeah, don't let him sip from your drink.
Betty Bonaducci. So, one more plug. Betty Bonaducci tonight.
She's 85. What do you think she's going to do?
83, for heaven's sake.
Oh, God. You're going to die a couple years earlier. For what?
We'll throw
the
it
other
up.
Side tonight in Los Feliz if you'd like to hear my mom sing and buy her a lot of vodka.
We'll take a quick break. Back with the news next. T, forget the T's. We'll take a break. Thanks, Betty Bonaducci. Back with the news.
Pleasure.
To his in-laws' house when he got divorced from my mom.
Who said that?
He was my age. And not having a pot to piss in. He doesn't know this, but my grandmother told me she wanted him to leave.
I moved into my mom's basement at 30.
Oh, snap!
At least it was your mom. This was someone else's mom's basement.
Your dad wins.
My grandmother has a house that has one bedroom and one bathroom, and in order to get to the bathroom, you have to walk through her bedroom.
Ugh.
So imagine a 42-year-old Jim Carolla living in 900 square feet of North Hollywood in the den on the fold-out sofa, and in the morning with the towel around his neck walking through the bedroom of the ex-in-laws to brush his teeth in the morning after Grandpa had fouled the place.
Do you think he would practice his trumpet while there?
Hot water.
That would be loud.
The impetus of the divorce right there.
No scales before noon or after 8 p.m. That was Grandma's. That was Grandma's rule.
No scales on your back.
And the room, the small room he said he lived in, was a closet. I swear to God, if I could find a camera small enough, I would take a picture of this room.
And then he would have to get up and teach the likes of Danny Bonaducci over at the School for Troubled Kids in Aguada Hills.
What a life. And by the way, the schlep in a crappy old Volkswagen from North Hollywood to Agora Hills is like driving a moped with a leaf blower engine on it on the freeway for 80 miles there and back every day.
And the stuff we did to your dad. I didn't know he was your dad. We didn't particularly do it to him, but there were only like four teachers there.
Yeah.
Because these weren't troubled just gangsters. They were like a gangster that actually killed somebody. So he was insane, but they're also like kids in wheelchairs and helmets and IV drips to keep them maintained and relaxed. And me and this guy named Bill, I was calling Bill F. Mm-hmm. Bill Finn's his real name. That'd be bad. We used to just go around and just detach the bottle from the IV and switch them and see what it would do to them.
My dad came home with lemonade dumped on his head one day. That's the only thing I remember from that experience.
I hope it was lemonade.
And when I say home, I mean, of course, my grandparents' house.
Of course.
All right, T.
Yep.
Let's do the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Hulk Hogan and his family have a new problem as they try to counter the negative PR from Nick Hogan's near-deadly drag racing crash. A video has now surfaced of Nick's mother, Linda Hogan, drag racing.
Mm-hmm.
The mother drag racing while Hulk and Linda's daughter, Brooke Hogan, rides shotgun and videotapes everything. This footage is from some video called Vehicular Lunatics. It's an extra on this DVD. It also features an interview with Linda in which she talks about how much she loves drag racing. Now, in case you don't remember this, Nick got in a crash with his friend. The friend is in a vegetative state right now in very critical condition.
Yeah.
Not that far from Hulk. Really.
This is one of those cautionary tales because he grows up. It's one of these things that happens in this country a lot. Dad grows up sort of poor and hungry, fights for everything he has. Kid grows up coddled and spoiled and is giving tours of his garage with his heavily modified 700 horsepower Supra. And they got motorcycles. They got everything else. The kid doesn't have a care in the world. And even though you tell him, take it easy, drive 55, I wouldn't have listened to anybody if I had a 700 horsepower Supra when I was 16 either. You guys are high if you think you're going to get your kid a hot rod and your kid's not going to hot rod.
Right. Now, here's the thing. Most mothers would say, maybe you shouldn't drag race. It's not a great idea. Well, on this tape, she does not say that. She says the opposite. But first, a reporter asked her about this Vehicular Lunatics DVD and whether or not she said anything pro drag racing, and here's what she had to say.
You were quoted as saying on that, on the tape, I've seen the tape, saying I love street racing. I don't know if you were joking. You said I love street racing. I love the speed on the road, stereo blasting, heart pounding, racing in between all the cars, dodging the cops. It's awesome.
Definitely not a chew.
I never said that.
No, because I saw the tape. Unless they did something to it, that's what they have you saying.
Because I would never have said that, and I know I didn't say that.
Right.
Well, guess
what?
Should
we hear the tape?
Here's the clip from the 2005 video, Vehicular Lunatics. This is Linda Hogan.
How do you feel about street racing?
Oh, I love it. I love it. The rush of just being on the road, stereo blasted, heart pounding, racing in between out cars, dodging the cops. It's awesome.
Now, here's where you use, and I tell you guys to use the Yeah But Still.
Yeah.
Yeah But Still works where somebody says, man, this team does great at home but never wins on the road. And then somebody goes, they won every game on the road last year. That's where you use the yeah, but still. This is where you use
what are you gonna do?
The much coveted but seldom used. I don't know about that. That's when they have tape of you saying something you said you didn't do. You play the tape and they go, yeah, but we heard you say it on a tape. Then they play the tape and you just shake your head and you go, I don't know about that. That's where you use that one, by the way. I have a look. This
has been
going on.
The I don't recall.
Right. this has been going on, the Ollie North. This has been going on for a long time. I remember as a young child, my mom in her VW Squareback with the retreads and the vapor lock.
Drag race.
Pulling up the signal, revving that powerful 1,200cc, 40 horsepower.
With your sister's shotgun, right?
Air-cooled engine. Sister be back there. Drop the cut, drop the clutch, light up the tires. That baby was 0 to 60 in about, well, actually still trying to get to 60. It's like my child adulthood life. My mom dumped the clutch on that baby and tried to get to 60 in 1974, and she's at 49 now. She's in mid-40s.
One day.
Yeah. So when I was 30, I said, just let me out of the car. We're going 21 miles an hour at the time. I did a shoulder roll and got into my adult life.
I never said that.
Yes,
yeah.
You did.
Well,
yes, you did.
Yeah,
look, everybody, your kid's first car should be an Impala station wagon with old tires strung around it like a tugboat.
Yep.
You get your kid a 700 horsepower Supra, he's going to be doing donuts in a parking lot. That's the way it is. If you want a hot rod, by the way, you hot rod everything. I had a Mazda pickup truck that was a pile of junk. Me and my friends hot rodded the mini pickup truck. I would hot rod people's mopeds. If someone lent me their moped, I would take it up to Dirt Mulholland and see what I could do on it. Anything with wheels on it, be it a shopping cart or a Supra, would get hot rodded. Do not give your kid a 700 horsepower car.
First of all, I will tell you that dating a person so young has taught me a great deal about mistakes you're supposed to make.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she'd make a mistake if my wife would make. We'd fight for days. And I was going to go, you're 25. You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to screw that up.
Right.
So that's been kind of interesting. But I have this question about you in drag racing.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you have a truly fast automobile, I'm assuming more than one, but let's just go with your fastest one.
All right.
And you're in one of those souped-up Celicas or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Would you still drag race somebody in that, or would you go, now this is stupid, because I have something so much faster, why bother to race this?
Well, here's why I wouldn't race them, because I would be driving a $200,000 Ferrari Stradale, which is 425 horsepower and a really bitchin' car and super fast. This kid would be in a Supra that was worth $11,000, but it had 750 horsepower and a nitrous tank, and he would blow the doors off of me and my $200,000 Stradale. And that's why I wouldn't do it. I don't want to see some Asian kid give me the stink eye while he rolls by in his rice rocket.
I didn't realize that because I don't
know. I
got
my ass kicked by a guy in a slammed Acura.
I don't know enough about cars to have ever thought that. When I had my Viper, the Viper was the fastest car I've ever personally owned, 470 horsepower, and didn't weigh anything except this giant engine. And after that, I wouldn't race anybody because it was so fast. Doing anything else, it seemed foolish. But I didn't think about those kids. Those little cars could maybe beat my Viper.
Oh,
I never thought about that.
With nitrous, by the way, now,
you
have a guy in a Honda Civic that he took the back seat out of and took all the glass out of and put Lexan in and lighten the whole thing up, and he'd blow doors on you and your $300,000 exotic Italian automobile all day long.
We're not allowed to kill these kids, right?
My penis was small enough. And I'm not making it shrink anymore.
Check Perez Hilton. I think I win.
Sorry, T. Go ahead.
Did you guys know, and now it's been proven, blonde women make men temporarily lose their intelligence?
Really?
And it's not for the reasons you might think. According to researchers at a university in Paris, blonde women make men temporarily lose their intelligence. This does not happen with brunettes, redheads, or women with any other hair colors.
Mm-hmm.
In the study, the researchers showed men photos of women with different colored hair, then gave them general knowledge tests. After men saw photos of blonde women, they performed worse on the tests.
Now, who were the men? Were they Anglo men? I mean, that's the question. You know, European men? Because that's what gets brought up all the time, and I hate to say it, and it sounds very racist in a weird way, or maybe Aryan in a weird, retarded way. I always say there's nothing better looking on the planet than a super hot blonde. I'm not a huge fan
and
of super hot blondes.
And I mean, like, vets as much as I used to, but a blonde.
But the blonde, and people always do that thing where, oh, that's your culture. But in this culture, they would find this attractive. No, they don't. As it turns out, all cultures on the planet want to be with Heidi Klum when Heidi Klum was 19 years old.
Right.
That's what everyone wants, and I think this may be proving my point.
Uh-huh.
By the way, if you look, I just punched up a couple of my friends from MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
This Brianna chick, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
I would lose my mind, cut off my ear, and send it to her.
Right.
That chick right there, gouging my eyes out for her. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Hot blondes, do whatever you want.
What did we find out, T?
And the other one was a guy.
What's the twist?
Here's the twist. It's not that blondes aren't attractive.
I like Mexican chicks. Mm-hmm.
So you think that because the blondes are so hot, it temporarily paralyzes your ability to answer questions. And by the way, I don't know this for sure, but I would hope that the men they studied were just a fair sampling and a good cross-section of men.
Mm-hmm.
Here is what the psychology professor who led the study says. In this case, blondes have the potential to make people act in a dumber way because they mimic the unconscious stereotype of the dumb blonde.
Mm-hmm.
This proves that people confronted with stereotypes generally behave in line with them. So it's because you think the blonde is dumb that you then are dumb.
It's like when you hang out with black guys and you say man 134
yes.
times.
That's
hey, man, how you doing,
it.
Man? What's oh, man? Oh, what's about a man? Hey, Ed McMahon. Favorite guy on TV, man.
I don't like white people.
That's exactly right. You're mirroring what you think the person is like.
Yeah,
so
I know.
If you think someone's dumb, you then mirror that and you perform poorly on tests. So watch out.
Be funny if I took a black blonde chick and put her in front of me and I dumb myself down, but I use man all the time, too.
How would that sound?
Hey, man, I don't know what 2+2 is, man. Man.
I like that.
What is it, 5, man? Hey, man. All right, man, woman, child, you got another story?
Yeah. A lot of holiday movies opening.
Mm-hmm.
In case you're looking for a movie to see, you could see Enchanted, a Disney movie that mixes animation and live action. It stars Amy Adams as a fairy tale princess who accidentally ends up in New York City after being thrown into a magic portal by an evil queen.
I ran into Patrick Dempsey, by the way, a couple of weekends ago.
He's also
How do you
an
do that? He always said this. So I'm talking to Leno, and I ran into Patrick Dempsey. I never run into any of these guys.
Well, what happened, as I've said, Patrick Dempsey used to live up the street or down the street from me. And we used to hang out a little bit back in the day. And he's the guy I took shopping to the Home Depot. It must have been humiliating for him, but it felt good for me. He borrowed tools from me so often. And like any good actor had not so much as a crescent wrench or a pair of pliers in right. his home. I said, Patrick, you have money, right? And he said, yes. I have knowledge and I have tools that I like to use. So what I'm going to do is I'm taking you shopping at Home Depot. And me and Patrick Dempsey walked through the Hollywood Home Depot. I got him a shopping cart. And I said, you push the cart and we'll go up and down every aisle. And I'll toss in one of everything you need. And it's going to cost you $300, but you will have everything a guy your level who has a home, who wants to do home improvement stuff will need. Not just here's a compass. Here's a speed square. You're going to need a chalk line. Here's this. And here's that. I didn't know it was Dr. McDreamy.
Oh, you didn't?
Well, at the time, he wasn't Dr. McDreamy.
And he wasn't McDreamy then. Remember when he started? He wasn't McDreamy at all.
He was.
I'm just getting the McDreamy now.
He got dreamy.
Yeah.
So I ran into him at a car event, and we promised to get together, but my wife threw away the laminate where he wrote his phone number.
Oh, no.
Why?
Accidentally.
This is what you woke me up for.
Your wife threw out McDreamy's phone number and you didn't believe her?
Look,
it's in her butt crack.
Normally, I could have a bowel movement in the entry hall and I would just step over it for the next 6 months. There's
right.
no such thing as me throwing something down and it getting thrown away or put away or anything.
Right.
I was wearing one of those lanyard laminate things. I said, McDreamy, give your phone number. I wrote it on the back of the thing, slid it back into its jacket, went about my way. Yeah, we'll get together. It's been a while. I went home. I took the laminate off. I threw it in the entry hall on the table next to the keys. And then like 3 days later, I was like, hey, where was that laminate? It's like, I think I threw it away. Like, the one time you threw, this is the one you stepped over the bowel movement I let go in early 2003 and you threw away McDreamy's number?
Okay. Please, Islam, don't get mad at me. It's just what I've read. If my girlfriend told me, oh, I misplaced McDreamy's phone number and I don't know where I put it, I'd say, I'm going to cut off your hand or give me back the phone number.
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar.
I was a little suspicious when I said Patrick Dempsey's number was on it and she dove into the trash can first.
Then, in that case, you believe her because now she's dumpster diving for the number.
It was like a Wolverine was going after something in there and just papers were sailing out of it. And then she chased a garbage truck down the street, pulled the guy out of the truck. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, don't lie to me, bitch. And she backhanded the guy and then went into the back of the truck and started sifting through that. Yes.
I don't know if you guys liked The Green Mile and The Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
I like The Green Mile better, but I like them both.
Yes. Well, no, I don't say yes. I love The Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption, one of my favorite movies. And The Green Mile, underrated. A good movie. Both Stephen King adaptations, both directed and written by Frank Darabont.
Uh-oh.
He has a new one out.
With the giant bugs?
The Mist.
Oh.
About a group of people who are trapped in a grocery store as a strange, deadly mist blows into town.
Mm,
I don't know if there are bugs, but there's
giant bugs.
There's a mist.
And when I see a movie where I see giant bugs, I go, count me in.
Eight-legged freaks?
Giant bugs, yes. I love a giant bug movie.
Uh-huh.
I'm into that. You know, all the great minds love giant bug movies.
Right.
Oh, check it out. It's a historical fact.
Sure, yeah.
Ben
Kafka
Franklin,
Kafka,
they all love giant bug movies. I love a giant bug movie. I could go for a good dragon movie this weekend. They love dragon movies and giant bug movies.
The more you know.
How about a movie where a dragon takes on a giant bug? Write that down, Bald Brian.
I'm pretty sure that's the scene from the movie The Big. I don't understand. What if it turned into a bug?
You could also see This Christmas, a holiday
Not
movie.
Not Aragon, but Decon.
Holiday movie starring Chris Brown and rapper David Banner.
Mm.
Are you excited about that? Or,
David Banner.
That's incredible.
You don't want to see me when I'm angry.
That was Bill Bixby's character.
Yeah, I know. He's also a rapper. Who knew? Or you could see August Rush, starring Kerry Russell, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, Robin Williams, and Terrence Howard.
Not in the mood to be swept away, thank you. I'll be with the smart people watching the giant bug movie.
Right. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser.
Oh, me and all the guys with our brandy snifters stroking our beards and saying, quite, when the giant bug smashes into the glass. Good times. Hey, everyone. Better times. Def Rat Guy's in the hizzy. He's brought Ozzy, and they're going to do a Thanksgiving poem. Def Rat Guy Squanto. Oh, no. No, he's a pilgrim. Yes. Ozzy's going to be Squanto. We'll do that next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show's Carolla Family Thanksgiving with clips and video at adamcarolla.com. And now with a special reenactment of the first Thanksgiving, the Deaf Frat Guy and Oswaldo Castillo on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hell yeah. Yeah, little Paul Revere and the Raiders song, Cherokee People. That's right. Paul Revere and the Raiders were five albinos dressed in Minutemen outfits.
Dude, I loved them.
Like Bowling Green. And they're singing about what it's like to be Cherokee. Boy, were the 60s a blowhard era. Hey, man, let's write a song about what it's like to be American Indian. Yeah, we're from Bowling Green. Shut up and sing. Yeah,
here's a song by a gay guy.
Hey, Edgar Winter, be quiet about this.
All right. We have the Deaf Rat Guy in studio.
Hell yeah.
We have Oswaldo.
I'm here.
Ozzy's in here. Ozzy's playing the role of Squanto, the Indian, and the Deaf Rat Guy will be who? Miles Standish?
Hell yeah.
And T?
I'm going to narrate.
You're going to narrate? And what is the story?
Well, it's a blustery March day, 1621. The pilgrims who landed 4 months ago in the dead of winter have already lost nearly half their number to disease.
Mm-hmm.
The new town of Plymouth is built on the site of Squanto's deserted village of Patuxet. Miles Standish, the leader of the colonists, prays.
How can we ever survive? Perhaps we should return to England when the Mayflower sails next month.
Squanto the Indian comes out of the woods.
Ha, no fair. I am a Squanto. I live in this place many moon. I speak the white man tongue.
I am Miles Standish, commander of the army of Plymouth Colony. Do you come in peace? Because I have a potato musk and I'll put a spot in your red ass. Seriously, I'll do a dance on your face, bro.
Yes.
Stick to the script, please.
I come in peace.
We also desire peace. We have come to the new world to hunt cougar pelts. Why have you come to us?
I have served. I am a scout and guide.
What?
And treat to the new world. While I was gone on my trip. Perish from a Greek sickness. I alone and left. I have come to help you. the new, the tongue with my B.I., you will be my crew, my people.
Surely God's providence is great.
Squanto proved to be a tremendous aid to the struggling Plymouth colony. His knowledge of planting, hunting, and fishing enabled the pilgrims to gather enough food to last them through the next terrible winter. After the harvest, the pilgrims invited their Indian friends to join them for a celebration of Thanksgiving.
I have taught you to fish and hunt and grow maize. Now we can feast.
Hold on a second. No one's fisting anybody.
Feast.
Huh?
Is a biatch and a fist? What's happening?
What's going on? There was none of that. I've seen the drawings. There was absolutely nothing involving a fist.
Just go up this bright because we're constantly being dumped down and we're not even on the air.
I think we're still on the air.
Yes. Indian. Let us say a prayer of Thanksgiving. Sovereign God, we thank thee that in thy great providence thou hast preserved us through many dangers and kept us safe until this day. We thank thee for our Indian friend, and we thank thee for thy bounteous gifts of corn, fowl, and dirty packs. In Jesus' name, hell yeah, there's the food.
Hell yeah.
Is my red bro enjoying the feast?
The white man feast has left the Indian call.
Very nice.
Nicely done.
Hell yeah, nice job. Squanto played by Ozzy Castillo, and Niall Standish played by one deaf frat guy. We know him as Maverick.
Hell yeah. Hey, I wanted to just say one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's things for I'm thankful.
All right, couple of few.
This video that's out there now. Two girls, one cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got to say, I am thankful that I found out Moose says that the poo is fake. So I was thankful to learn that.
No.
He said because he knows everything about poo.
I would talk about it, but I'm currently suing Robert Schimmel for showing that to me.
I've unfortunately
I'm unable
seen it.
To perform sexually or otherwise.
You know what? I didn't bring myself to watch it.
Good man. Anything else you'd like to be thankful for, Squanto?
The booting is real in the video.
You can't fake the boot.
No.
But the poo is apparently a song.
Your Thanksgiving, everybody. Enjoy. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. Nice job, Squanto and Niles. Or Miles. We'll take a quick break. Back to wrap it up.
Hell yeah.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. I got love in my tummy.
Song probably was a top three song in 1967 or something.
This is damn exciting stuff.
Everybody doing the dirty version?
Yeah.
I got dynamite.
I got Love on My Tummy is actually the dirty version of this song. All right. I want to give thanks where thanks are due. First off, you can go to adamcarolla.com and see what happened today. See Pops Scatman playing the horn. See Squanto and Deaf Rat Guy. See Mrs. Bonaducci. See it all on adamcarolla.com. I'd like to thank my pops for coming in here and blowing his bugle.
Who said that?
Your son. Dag, David Alan Greer, Ontario.
Oh, yeah.
Ontario Improv next Thursday through Sunday. Rich Eisen. Huh? No. Indianapolis Colts against Atlanta tomorrow night on the NFL Network at 5 p.m. Also, Betty Bonaducci playing a gay bar near you.
The other side in Silver Lake tonight.
Yeah, I've seen the other side. It smells weird.
Teresa, he doesn't look well to me.
Teresa Strasser on TMZ. That is tonight. TV Water Cooler tonight on the TV Guide channel.
Hey, throw in Danny Bonaducci and Life Coach on CBS.com, please.
No.
Okay.
Cannot do that.
I understand completely, boss.
Also, I want to thank Diff Rat Guy and the Oz Man. So, until next time, Adam Carolla saying, mahalo. How far do you think my mouth could get away from my ass?